about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Just a second. I'm halfway done. I'm halfway there. I'm halfway done with what's happening in here.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is riveting. Are you enjoying this as much as I am?
Riveting, yeah. I was thinking that. In fact, I was thinking earlier. I'd meant to tell you about that, but yeah, no. It is riveting and so cool.
Let me tell you something about the McCafe hot chocolate. When you put that whipped cream on top and that chocolate syrup and that steam milk, before you even drink it, when you have it in your hand and you feel how warm it is and you're saying, man, when I take a sip of this and then you take a sip and that whipped cream's on your face and even hits your nose, you don't even get mad. You don't even wipe it off. Because you immediately go back in for more hot chocolate.
And now.
Honestly, I wish I was more sober right now.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 29th of November.
I want hot chocolate every time I hear that with some whipped cream.
Right?
See? Yeah, what a great cream. Job.
Great job. Hey, hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, hey is not usually what?
And hello.
Okay.
Let me hear your travel horror stories coming in today because of all the rain.
There was a pretty cool. I mean, yeah. I guess I shouldn't say that if I don't know if anyone died or
I
not.
I think everyone survived.
Okay. There was on the 101 freeway right at Highland, mm-hmm. there's a truck, a big rig, mm-hmm. and only the cab was just demolished with fire.
Wow.
It seemed like the entire truck was fine. You saw the same thing?
Well, we saw a timeline of destruction. When mm-hmm. I passed it, it was ablaze. It was on fire, just
but
the
only
cab.
The cab.
Right.
How does that happen?
That's what I asked Jensen. I said, how does that happen?
But I assume...
But that, I have a question. How yeah. does that happen?
Right.
Oh, God, that was the last one that really hurt me. I had it until that question. I think... I don't know. I like to think that the back cab, the truck, mm-hmm. is filled with something not flammable, so it just sort of hangs out.
It just sort of hangs
like
out?
Cotton candy or something. Uh-huh, I'm uh-huh. trying to think of something that doesn't catch fire.
Oh, Mr. Bad Example?
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah. So I was trying to figure out what would almost push it away.
But I couldn't see it clearly, so I slammed on my brakes and then I moved over three lanes and stopped in the fast lane
good.
So that I could look at
good.
It.
Good.
No, that's
really,
the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, and really get a good view of it.
Good.
Yeah, that's great advice, Kevin. I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people don't think about that. If you ever see anything on the road, even mm-hmm. if it's on the other side of a divided highway.
Which it was, yeah.
Or pulled over to the side where it does in no way impacts your ability to drive through at a normal speed.
Right.
Go ahead and slow down and look mm-hmm. at it.
Yeah.
And take pictures of it with your phone if you can, or in Jensen's case, video.
Yeah.
And just slow everybody else so they also get to enjoy it in addition to you.
Jensen was like, can we redo this? Because I didn't get the beginning.
For the record, I did set up lighting next to my car and then shoot it directly at the truck. So it was a little bit of a stop more than a slowdown.
Allie, did you have the night of your life last night? I know how much you were anticipating some rain outside.
I was looking at the computer models, figuring mm-hmm. out when it would get to my part of town.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was a little late, but I did wake up a couple times during the night, mm-hmm. and I heard the pitter-patter, and I was so excited. I love rain so much, you guys. It's disturbing.
You're living in a bad place, then.
I really am. That's why only a few times a year I'm truly happy.
But you really enjoyed it.
I do.
Well, be careful. And obviously, fingers crossed for the people who live in the areas of the fires because mudslides are legitimately as potentially dangerous as fires are.
Yeah.
So be very careful. And when they tell you to go, go. That's the good advice I can give you.
When they tell you to go, go. Okay.
Because people want to stay behind.
Right.
My house is fine. You know what I mean? And the authorities are like, you have to get out because there's a very real chance of mudslides. You don't want to end up under that mudslide.
Right.
That's what I'm saying is exercise caution.
Mudslides. Hey, if you have to go... Go. That's what I was taught most of my life.
Right.
In elementary school.
Stop, drop, and roll, and mudslides if you have to go.
Go.
Yeah.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Those were the posters.
This is fun at all, but do we have time for a little You Be the Judge?
Sure.
You be the judge right now. You can be the judge right now. You be the judge.
Here comes the judge.
You be the judge right now. Come on now and be the judge.
I feel like that's a little too funky to be the judge.
You guys remember back in January when that botched alert in Hawaii was sent all over the cell phones, all over the country?
Yep.
Yes.
I guess the state, really. It's more of a state than a country. so everybody's cell phone got that alert from the state that says, hey, you know, incoming missiles. This is not a drill. Mm-hmm. We're going to die. The whole thing, right? Here's the potential. Well, it is a lawsuit. It has been filed. And I want to know what you guys think, if there's any legitimacy to this and if this thing should get to court. And if it does, do these plaintiffs have a case? James Shields and Brenda Reichel, who were living in Hawaii in Honolulu, boyfriend and girlfriend. They got the alert that said ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. So they decided that if they were going to die, they should be together on the beach. So they drove to the sandy beach on Oahu. They believe, according to their attorney, they believe the message to be true. They were extremely frightened, and they thought they were going to die. In fact, Reichel's son, she's the lady in the relationship, is a member of the Hawaii National Army Guard. She called, you know, she called him, and he said, yeah, I believe the alert is real. So they reached the beach around 8:15 a.m., began calling loved ones. It was about that time that Mr. Shields started to feel a severe and painful burning in his chest. They went immediately to the Straub Medical Center, where he went into cardiac arrest, had a heart attack, and had to receive life-saving CPR, defibrillation, and later surgery. The couple went through the medical ordeal. They were unaware that a second alert had been sent by the state's emergency management agency, stating the first alert had been a false alarm. So they are suing the state of Hawaii, saying their errant text caused a heart attack. And they want damages as a result of it. They would never have had a heart attack if it hadn't been for you screwing up and having that guy accidentally send out the text. Do they have a case that should proceed to trial?
I feel like a scare does not cause a heart attack unless you are at risk for a heart attack.
Right. I don't agree with with what you said. You quoted them as saying he wouldn't have had a heart attack.
Right. That's just scientifically and medically not true.
But he wouldn't have at that moment.
You don't know that.
What, you think that just coincidentally the stress was extremely high in his life and he caught a heart attack at that moment because he was going to have a heart attack at that moment because he has high cholesterol?
Well, I certainly think that that's
a
tiny possibility, if at all.
Yeah, tiny. Yeah,
definitely.
But as far as the likely situation, he was stressed by a errant text, felt that pressure.
Yeah.
He literally thought he was going to die within a few minutes.
You know how
he almost did.
How many other people literally think they're going to die in stressful situations and don't have a heart attack but have one down the line because they have high cholesterol, they have heart disease, or at risk for a heart attack? No. Throw it out. Boom. Move on.
Wow. So Allie says beat it, kid.
Beat it, kid. No.
How about you, Kevin?
I'm with Allie.
Meaning don't even let it go to trial. Have the judge say you can't even go to trial with this? It's not a legitimate lawsuit.
So you get Zippo, nada.
No.
Jensen, how about you?
I disagree. I like to be so far in the minority here and say this is exactly a case because I don't understand how both of you think, whatever, he would have had it anyway. What a heartless team of judges.
Well, you just get a heart attack because you're scared.
Do you think there was no chance of him having a heart attack ever except for this?
But I don't understand.
Fear does not bring on a heart attack.
Answer the question.
Did I think that there's a chance to have a heart? I think there's a chance any of us can have a heart attack.
Boom! End of discussion!
But what I'm saying is I can sue someone based on them basically making it earlier.
You know what? Somebody jumped out at me at a surprise party, got chest pains. I'm suing the whole party now.
Right?
I actually kind of think that's also a case if we want to bring that one up, Bean.
Oh, good Lord!
I was going to use that as my next example.
What?
Take the state and the text out of here. What if it had just been somebody who jumped out at him and caused a heart attack? Doesn't that guy have some responsibility?
Let's say you're walking down Ventura Boulevard, one of my favorite San Fernando Valley hangouts.
Sure.
And you're walking down and someone just jumps out and goes, I'm okay! At the top of their lungs. Uh-huh. And then you have a heart attack. Do you have a case?
No.
I don't think
either. It's assault to me, so.
It's assault. Wow. It's not. If you don't touch them.
Yeah. You are a snowflake.
your tough room, your court would be so backed
you
up.
You are a tissue paper human.
Guys, right? Listen, I think we take too much taxes, and I'd like to use it in my court. Long-term charges, long-term cases. The whole thing, both of those, I'd let those go through.
All right. Well, I hope for this poor man who barely survived that attack, I hope that Jensen and I are on his jury and not you cold, heartless bastards. I'll tell you that.
He would have had it anyway. He had it coming to him.
You don't have a heart attack unless you are either at risk for a heart attack. There's something in you Or, you don't just all of a sudden you're like, oh, somebody spooked me. Boom,
or you
I'm
believe
dead.
You're going to die.
I'm going to die 7-8 times a day.
And
Bean.
She means it.
Let me guess, Allie. It was because the way she was dressed. She was asking for it.
Well, I believe it was a man, so right. No, that doesn't work here.
You guys.
Boom! Suck it, beat it, kid.
I don't know who I don't ruled know. Here.
Yeah.
We have too many judges. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oh, my God. Then she had a heart attack.
Right?
I'm scared
right.
her. Scaring's crazy.
I object, Your Honor. This woman is heartless and jaded.
Overruled.
He's just waiting outside of movie theaters giving his, like, uncle the lawyer's card out for horror movies. Were you scared at any point? Here, take this. Sue. You're what's wrong with America.
Listen, if your movie has something to do about jumping out and yelling my name at me, then listen, I have a case.
I can't believe Kevin hasn't yelled that we're all out of order yet. That's his favorite part of you, the judge.
He loves hitting that.
We also have RJ Bell on the show today. And by the way, if he doesn't go 3-0, suing.
So, by the way, that's
suing,
a case.
Right?
If you use your hard-earned money and you follow RJ Bell and he's wrong, you know what?
Sue
RJ Bell.
Right. Bo Bachman is going to be here talking about the LA Auto Show.
I only did that for one reason.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Bo Bachman since I was 11 years old, and that's where we'll leave that tease.
Whoa.
That's it.
I haven't seen him since you were 11.
And was it in a court of law where you last saw him?
That is true. I do have to go 500 feet from this radio station when he gets here.
Get up on this with Jensen, where he introduces us to something new. What about no Christmas gifts? Mm. There are a lot of people who are saying, you know what? If somebody else would agree to it, and I would agree to it. Maybe we'd all be happier if we just... We're not talking about children here. We're talking about adults.
Someone just needs to be the first to say it type of thing. Yeah.
Hey, let's not give gifts.
Right.
What about
would
that?
Would it potentially take some stress out of the holiday season?
Because that's an errand. And not cause a heart
attack. Yes, segment over.
That's an errand that we all kind of face this time of year.
I'll be the one to say it. Let's not do gifts this year, guys. Oh, wait. None of you really do it anyway.
Listen, what I'm saying is that if someone yells your name...
Plus, we've got tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light Backstage Passes. As a matter of fact, we have a chance for you to win those in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
That's how you wake up, by the way. Good choice right there.
Agreed.
Who's bringing in the record today? Chip, was that you? That was good.
Always.
I like it.
Except
not always.
Speaking of waking up, let's have Miss Allie McKay step up and tell us what's happening.
Okay, sorry. I did just take that last step up. Wasn't ready for it. Okay. What? Hey, guys, remember when we used to hear about all those break-ins?
Yes.
It was Yusel Puig, it was LeBron James, it was Rihanna. Have you heard about them lately?
Well, I've heard about them because it sounds like they found the person or gang who did it, right?
They found the people, you guys. 10 alleged gang members have been charged in the robbery of Rihanna's home. The men also, like I said, broke into LeBron and Yusel Puig's homes as well. 4 of them were caught after video was released of them breaking into Puig's home, but one of them has been off the hook now. Cleared. But now 7 more men between the ages of 18 and 25 have been arrested and charged with various crimes, including criminal street gang conspiracy to first-degree residential burglary. And also some home invasion robberies slip in there as well.
Sure.
Cops say the crew hit more than 24 homes and hit at least 12 celebrity homes, including Viola Davis as well.
What?
She's
Viola
in there.
Davis?
Isn't that rude?
I don't even think she has that
treasure.
Yeah. But it's not like it's LeBron. She doesn't have like ice sitting around her house.
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Viola Davis, you think is just stunning?
Yeah. She's just, she has just bathtubs of diamonds.
I like the idea. Hi, I'm Viola Davis, and this is my cribs. And she like walks you around. She has like a shark tank.
I'd watch that all day. I love her.
Does it say anything about whether any of the stolen merchandise was recovered, or has that long been fenced?
It doesn't say. It just says they stole about $1 million in property, including $50,000 in cash, watches, purses, and a vehicle. So they took cars, too. So that's pretty good. Yeah, it doesn't say whether anything's been given back yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they're all
like
going to be okay.
It's good that it seems like it was just one group, though, too.
Yeah, using Instagram. Did you read that part?
That they would just see when people were out of town.
Yeah, Yusel Puig had a game, so they robbed him.
Yeah.
It's like that easy.
Well, I'm not going to get robbed now.
Yeah. Didn't they hit his phone?
Always seeing the silver lining.
Only people with Instagram have to worry about it. Didn't they hit Yasiel like three times?
Three times.
That was the saddest thing.
Yeah. And then at one point, I guess he had security, everything all set up. And he even had a guy on the Dodgers that had like alerts on his phone. So Yasiel would be playing and he's like, oh, they're at it again. Yep, I can see it right now. I'm watching it on my phone. That's what?
Seems distracting.
Yeah, it seemed like you would have to have like an armed guard in front of your house. But even then, I think it was happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think so, yeah.
Well, I'm glad they caught him.
Oh, me too, Bean. Me too. You guys, are you excited for a Game of Thrones cast reunion?
Not even a little bit.
Well, let me tell you about it then. Sean Bean's character, Ned Stark, he was one of the first major players to be killed off on Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. But in 2019, you're going to be able to see him again because a bunch of familiar faces
are working at the Hamburger Hamlet in the Valley.
No, with the current cast of the show have returned for a reunion special hosted by Game of Thrones superfan Conan O'Brien. So they've already filmed the reunion special.
So what is it? Just them talking about, hey, remember that time? That was cool.
When I was on for a season that I died? Yes, essentially.
Okay.
So it's after the rose.
Essentially, yeah. It's not going to air on HBO, though.
Oh.
It's going to be available as a special feature on a DVD box set that will include all 8 seasons and become available sometime in 2019. And we know that this coming up season, the 8th, is the final season. This is it.
Debuts in April.
Really it. Yep.
Now, Jensen, will you be buying this collection on Blu-ray?
Never seen an episode.
No, me
doesn't
either.
Mean you won't buy it on Blu-ray,
that's
though.
That's true.
Doesn't
that
it?
Is true.
Yeah, you don't have to watch it.
No, yeah. I have The Wire completely sealed. Never seen it.
Oh, that is devastating.
It's good work.
No, I'm just waiting. I figure a lot of times I'm just waiting to catch polio or something, and then I'll be in my bed for a long time and able to watch long series or movies.
Kevin, how many times have you heard me say that almost exact same thing?
Well, I mean, not polio, but...
Well, usually I want to break every bone in my body and then not be able to...
Everybody assumes that they're going to go through something in their life where they need 6 months of TV to watch.
Yeah, sometimes I'll buy a full series and just be like, that's a cancer DVD.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Holy crap.
I support it completely.
Of course
that's
you
ridiculous.
Do. Kevin, where are we?
he does it just walking
gavel.
Around, yeah.
He loves the gavel so much.
Shut up.
Some birthdays for you. Anna Faris, Don Cheadle, Howie Mandel, Chadwick Boseman, Russell Wilson. He's still playing up there, Bean?
The Seahawks, by the way, are still in the wild card playoff hunt. The season is not over yet.
Oh, all right. Damn.
I mean, no one's asked if the Seahawks season was over yet.
Just saying Russell is still playing and doing a hell of a job.
All right, well, draw his name in hearts on your peachy folder. Plus Vin Scully, you guys.
Vin Scully.
It's Vin Scully's birthday.
Hello.
I'm sorry?
Hello.
Oh, hello. That's what's happening.
All right, look, we've had to come up with a lot of games for this.
Why do you keep...
It's hard to stop creativity.
Right? Seriously.
Yeah.
We have to do a lot of games.
We're knocking our legs out from under us before we've even started the game.
K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We do it daily, and so we have to come up with new games. So we try to make up new ones, and most of the time, they fail.
This is going to be fun.
That's what I meant.
It's going to be fine.
Right.
I have all the confidence in the world in Allie, our host. We're giving away tickets for night number 2. It's all Allie's idea, you guys. It's all
Hold on, guys. I have a phone call. Hold on. Yes, this is Jensen. Hey, guys. It's the Radio Hall of Fame.
Right.
Oh, okay. They're listening.
Yes. We're about to do another one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas. Yeah. Yeah, okay, one of the games. Yeah.
It's for night 2.
Got another one. They're putting us in again.
Yes.
They're putting us in again. A
just
second induction.
Game.
Yes.
Without even hearing it.
They said they've heard all week, and that if this is even close to half of it, we're the greatest broadcasters of all time.
It may be. It may be.
Just letting you know.
Florence and the Machine headlines night 2 of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 on Sunday, December 9th at the Forum. Still a few tickets available to buy. You can also win them right now if you're already on the line, and you want the Bud Light backstage passes as well. The game is called Go With The Flow. Good start.
Okay.
Allie, how's this one work for our contestants listening and those at home and at ships at sea?
I am going to give you a clue. Maybe the answer will have something to do with going with the flow.
Go.
Oh, wow. Gotcha.
With the flow.
All right, so Flo and Florence-related answers is what you're looking for.
Yes.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
Hugo in Riverside. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good,
hey,
thank you.
Hey, Hugo. All right.
You're part of radio history right now. You understand that, Hugo.
Hey, that's what's up.
Okay.
All right, you're going to have an audio clue. This is a hip-hop rock band from Denver. They found mainstream success with their 2007 album, Fight With Tools, featuring this banger.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
It's a fine banger.
Technically, that's a bop.
Hugo.
Yes.
What's the answer?
Who is that band?
Who's that band? I have no idea, to be honest.
See, if you think about go with the flow, it's the Flowbots.
Flowbots. Flowbots is what we were looking for. Thank you, Hugo. You're not a bad person for not knowing that. That was a tough pull.
This isn't going to go well.
It's going to go great.
Okay.
Yeah. Have All confidence. Right. Sergio in Alhambra. Hi.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Sergio. A lot of people consider this woman America's mom. She blended her family of three girls with her husband Mike Brady's three boys. And that's the way they all became the Brady Bunch. Who's that woman?
Oh, shoot.
Oh, no.
Here's a hint. It's not the Flowbots.
It's a good hint.
So I have no idea.
It is
sorry.
It is Florence Henderson.
You know what? It's hard for them because they've set up their tape decks to record this at the same time, so
oh,
they have
it?
History. Yeah, it's tough. It's
so
difficult.
That makes it difficult.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Let us know if the Hall of Fame is calling back at any
point. I will. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Especially after the tape decks reference.
Oddly, no phone call. Nothing yet.
Jose in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
All right, Jose. This is a rapper, perhaps best known for 2008's breakout single, Low. It was number one for 10 weeks in the U.S., broke the record for digital download sales at the time of its release. Here's a clip of that. Who is that rapper?
I think his name is Flow Rider.
Hey! Yay!
Yes. Hold on.
Okay.
You are in the drawing, sir.
All right. Let's go to Jen in Long Beach. Hi, Jen.
Hey there. Hi. I got all of them right.
Ooh, take it easy.
I'm not going to say you're going to nail this one, but you're going to nail this one.
All right.
I'll nail it, Ellie.
All right.
Take it easy.
This is a visitor that shows up. Maybe she's married to your uncle. Sometimes her arrival makes you super emotional. Maybe you snap at real little things. And then when she doesn't show up, but you expect her, things can get real scary real fast. Who is that?
Oh, my God. Aunt freaking Flo.
There you go. Look at her.
Nice. All right.
The Radio Hall of Fame did call. I put it straight to message. I'll check it later.
Yeah, I'm sure it's... Okay.
It was that question I put him over.
It was. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's natural and women go through it so you guys can have babies and repopulate the world.
But we can move on from that, though, right?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Right,
yeah. Brendan in Anaheim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Brendan, this track and field Olympian is considered the fastest woman of all time. She was known as much for her record-breaking times as she was for her super long nails, and she also wore this track and
field brother.
Thank you.
There you go.
Wow. Flojo. Yes.
Look at you. Nicely
well done. I was going to say that uni that only covered one leg. Remember that?
Oh, sure.
Awesome. Weird.
All right, let's go to Joe in Canoga Park.
Morning.
Joe, we are playing for night two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, headlined by Florence and the Machine. The game is called Go With the Flow. We're looking for a flow-related answer. Here's Allie.
We've been seeing these ads since about 2008. She's a fictional saleswoman. She's got white pants, a white shirt, an apron, and a signature headband. She's appeared in more than 100 commercials for a pretty progressive corporation.
Ooh. Who is she?
Flo.
Right.
Yeah, that works.
Thank you,
we'll take
God.
It.
That
we'll
was going to be my one if no one was getting them. But thank God.
I didn't think Joe was going to get that.
I like this game.
Oh, my God.
I like this game.
He kept us on the edge of our seats. All right, we got time for one more, I'm sorry to say. Just one more question.
Are you sure?
Let's go to Frank in West Covina. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We are good.
Frank, I feel good about you. This is an electrically powered vacuum cleaner attachment that was made for cutting hair. The guy initially sold him out of his garage, and then he did these live demonstrations at county fairs. But then came those iconic commercials where it just looked like people were vacuuming their head. What was that product?
A Floobie.
Yeah,
yeah, it was. Look at that. Yeah.
All right. Well done,
we
you guys.
Five winners.
Five
How
winners.
How about that? They are Frank and Jose and Jen and Brendan and Joe. Unfortunately, we only have one pair of tickets and one pair of backstage passes from Bud Light to give away. Jensen Carr, who's our winner, please?
There's only going to be one winner for the greatest game in radio history, and that person is Jose.
Yay!
Jose, congratulations.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Every Thursday morning just after 7, our friend Jensen introduces us to something we may not be familiar with. It's called Get Up On This, and that is on the way. Plus, RJ Bell in Las Vegas talks NFL Week 13. All straight ahead on K-Rock. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Hey, Bean. So, Billie Eilish is playing Night 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was not here the day that you interviewed her. Was it last week or the week before?
Two weeks ago.
She seemed delightful. She seemed lovely. I loved everything about that interview.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she has come out on Instagram and has opened up about living with Tourette's syndrome. She shared that her tics are only physical and not super noticeable to others if you're not paying attention. But she posted this Instagram story in response to somebody posting videos of her tics in like a montage of all her tics posted together.
Wow.
Which is just... People, what are you doing?
So somebody, some fan basically was trying to out her?
Well,
I mean, not a fan. I wouldn't.
Just, yeah, a kind of piece of crap person. But she wrote, I've never mentioned my Tourette's on the internet because nobody thinks I'm deadass. I don't know what the 16-year-olds mean there. But she wrote, as well as the fact I've just never wanted people to think of Tourette's every time they think of me. But she did say that she thought the videos were low-key funny. I love her.
What's her tic, Allie?
It's just a movement. So
no, unless... what is her tic? What is she? Does she do something specific?
She doesn't know.
It's her movement is what she was saying. She said it's not super noticeable to others. It's only physical. And if you're not paying attention.
No, okay. I was just curious. Whether it was a face thing or a hand thing or, you know, I didn't know. I haven't watched the video.
I hope you ask more questions about it, though.
I was just curious. That's all.
I know.
She handled it like a pro.
She did. She certainly did. You guys, how much money does Pauly D have?
I hope none.
He has a lot, apparently, because he has just co-designed a custom pendant. It's modeled after an illustration of his face. Complete with a blowout, diamond earrings, and aviator sunglasses. Took him 3 months to create this, by the way.
Wow.
36-carat pendant hangs on a 48-carat tricolor Cuban link chain covered in rose, yellow, and white diamonds. And then he thought, you know what? I should get a matching tricolor link bracelet to complete the look. Pauly D's new bling costs a whopping $500,000 for a pendant of Pauly D's face with the blowout, diamond earring, and aviator sunglasses. He's going to wear a pendant of himself. What?
I mean, that doesn't surprise me, but who's going to pay for that? Who would pay?
No, he made it for himself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see. I thought he was trying to start a line of these or
Wouldn't
something.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
We would have to keep a close eye on anyone that was buying that. But $500,000, you guys.
That seems extreme.
I wonder what he's making to be, he DJs in Las Vegas,
Does he have a residency there?
He used to. I don't know if he still does, but that's a good chunk of change.
I think he may, because I think I've seen billboards of him recently in Vegas.
That's a nice paycheck.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know what's going on. But if I had that kind of money, I know where I'd want to spend it. 14 months after his death, Playboy icon Hugh Hefner's belongings have hit the auction block. Proceeds are going to benefit his Civil Liberties Foundation. There's going to be a public auction on November 30th and December 1st. Those are the two scheduled ones. What could you buy? Well, thanks for asking. Complete set of bound Playboy editions, estimated to draw up to $40,000.
Wow.
That's not bad, right? one of his iconic smoking jackets. How much would you pay for one of those? It's essentially a robe.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay anything for it, but there are people who are fascinated with the Playboy lifestyle,
right.
For sure.
Right.
$20,000?
That one, only about $5,000 for that.
Okay.
I do not want these. A pair of his silk pajamas. Those are going to go for around $2,000.
Washed or unwashed?
Ew, just old man junk. Like, yeah. No.
No.
Way no. Ugh. This bean, you might want this. A 1946 coin-operated Wurlitzer jukebox.
Oh.
And it's programmed with all of his artists that he loves. Johnny Mercer, Lena Horne, Artie Shaw. 2 dozen original 78 RPM albums.
How about that? How much is that going to go for?
$20,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just saying, right?
Right.
Not bad. Not bad, you guys.
Pauly D is buying all of it.
Oh, what if he buys his jammies? He wears them on stage.
He'd have to redo his chain.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Ugh, old man junk in silk PJs, you guys.
Yeah, no one wants that.
No one wants it. You guys, if you're trying to figure out the right Christmas gift to give this Christmas season, but it's leaving you exhausted, you're nervous about it, you don't know if people are going to like that gift anyway, or you just don't want to deal with the hassle of returning gifts you don't like, well, there's an app for that. Hinted lets you create a personalized wish list of gifts that you can share with family and friends. You can browse through theirs and do your holiday shopping right there on the app. Here's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
This was a Hallmark movie 3 years ago. Okay? She had created this app. She thought this was going to wow the agency she was working for. And the guy said, you know what? That kind of takes away the joy of gift giving. So why don't you go and retool that thought process? And she's like, womp, womp, I worked so hard. So then she went, and guess what she did? She found the true spirit of Christmas.
Sure.
Of course she did. I just read that and I was like, a little late. All right, saw this on Hallmark a few years ago. So just so you know, now people are doing that app because people have no true spirit of Christmas. That's all I'm saying. But you know what? Burger King wants to help you guys out if you have a dog and you're hungry. You're like, God, I want a Whopper delivered to my house, but I don't know, my dog looks hungry too. Here's what they're doing. They're giving out treats for customers' canine companions. Under the limited time deal that debuted yesterday, Burger King is giving away free dog purrs, which are Whopper flavored dog biscuits.
Dog purrs.
Like Whopper, okay. But dog purr?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you purchase a Whopper through the delivery service DoorDash, you can get a dog purr. Promotion runs through December 4th.
Okay. Strange, but all right.
I don't understand the economics of how cheap food works with the delivery system. Wouldn't the delivery cost be more than the burger would cost?
I'll tell you, because you don't understand it, because you don't drink.
You don't drink.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
Here's what happens on a Sunday morning when you're just laying there going, oh my God, I need a greasy burger. I need some French fries.
But I can't move.
I am not getting up. I shouldn't be driving, even though I stopped drinking 10 hours ago. So you do that. That's what it is, Bean.
Oh, got it. And it's worth it. Okay, understood.
So
now I
worth
get it.
So worth it. The fries are always soggy, but it doesn't matter. I hear. Some birthdays for you. Don Cheadle, Howie Mandel, Anna Faris, Chadwick Boseman, and Vin Scully.
There will be a new day and eventually a new year.
What?
And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball.
Oh,
so this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
Smell it. I didn't think it would be that one, but that's upsetting.
You should have.
I should have. That's what's happening.
You ever listen to that message from the Radio Hall of Fame? Did they boot us for Go With The Flow, or are we still in?
You know, I can't hear. The phone kept cutting out, but I only caught garbage and how are you professionals, but I didn't hear the whole context, so they could say other radio shows are garbage. How do they consider themselves professionals?
I'm sure that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So as far as we know, we're still in.
Yes.
Hey, another chance for you to win tickets to join us for that big weekend after next at the Forum, by the way. Keep listening for your chance for KROQ's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and the Bud Light Backstage Passes. First, though, what did I
I tell you? Thursday about this time every week, Jensen's brings us something and introduces us to something maybe we don't know about. It's called Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up,
get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Now, as you said, I am on this segment to tell you about things you might not know about, things that have not yet hit mainstream or things you may have missed over the past few decades. So things I think didn't get the correct shine is also part of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't need to be something new and fresh and with a face tattoo.
Just something maybe we'd missed.
Exactly. And that's what this is today. It is.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Civil War reenactments.
You got it. You nailed it.
How did you know that?
You nailed
it. Just lucky.
Have you ever been to one?
No.
I have.
Your really?
Boy has. Your boy has.
Really?
And
your boy's
boy.
Fired.
Yeah, and I'm your boy.
Nice.
Please tell me you fought for the North.
No, would you do that?
Okay, so I went to a friend's house for a holiday in Yosemite, mm-hmm. and we saw on the board at the local coffee shop Civil War reenactment, and I was like, oh, I have to see
this.
So I went to it, and it really was very, and I mean very specific. This is not like ragtag
no,
cosplay.
No, it's detailed.
I would have expected it to be janky.
No, it's very detailed, and also you don't really know what's going on. They're mostly in on like the moves, like mm-hmm. Risk, you know, like a war game or mm-hmm. whatever. They uh-huh. know all the moves. They don't yell out, now we're moving into the light. Like, you right. have to like guess, and right. then like, you know, like someone will come out and give a speech, and then they made a big deal about the Abe Lincoln character. It was pretty bonkers, guys.
It's not wow. for me.
No, it's not for anyone, really.
Okay, good.
I was probably the only person who's ever had a girlfriend there. all right, here we go, guys. This is an album from 2001. Now, a lot of the music industry
wow.
is based on sort of the politics of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, especially before the internet came into play and you could just upload a song, you had to depend on a record label. And we know how that happens, yeah. you know, how that ends up for a lot of people. And this musician and album might be the biggest victim, in my opinion, of the record industry ever.
Really?
I think, and I'm going to go with hyperbole here, pointing to the fences, this okay. is the best album of the aughts.
Oh,
and no one knows
really?
It, and I think no one knows it exists. I think you guys may have played his first single maybe once. I don't know. It didn't get full play. He never cracked any sort of chart or anything. So the album is called New Sacred Cow, and it's by an artist named Kenna.
Now, mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about...
He's got her arms in the air like...
Here's the thing about this album. Do you like Oingo Boingo? Do you think Oingo Boingo would be awesome if produced by the Neptunes? Well, boy, do I have an album for you. Ethiopian-American musician Kenna released this album through almost two or three different labels. He couldn't find himself in a good position. He was signed to Interscope through Toilet Bowl Fred Durst. This is the second album you just showed me.
Oh, make sure they see your face.
Which is a reference to the first album, which we'll get to. So he was signed to Flawless Records, Fred Durst, Interscope. That doesn't work out because, as we know, Fred Durst, not the guy you want putting out your album.
Right.
But then he ended up going to like Sony, and there was all these, and Columbia, and there was all these sort of move, you know, Star Trek with Pharrell. But Chad Hugo of the Neptunes produced his album. It is heavily influenced by rock and electro pop, and I just can't explain how good it is.
I've never heard of him.
I think it is a total classic. Now, Ali's record she has on her phone is called Make Sure They See Your Face, and that's because that's what Interscope said. He wouldn't put his face in the music videos. Make sure they see your face.
But this New Sacred Cow, is that the one with Free Time?
Yes.
And let's
play Free Time.
But can he sing?
I need the free time. I need to get away. I need the free time to get away from you. I need some me time. I need the me time. I need to run away tonight.
That's Free Time.
Wow.
It's Boingo-esque for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can hear Depeche Mode doing
that, too. Depeche Mode in there as well. He is just basically influenced by all the things we like, but then you add in sort of a post-rock, synth-pop kind of thing, and then you throw in the Neptunes. You throw
right.
in Chad Hugo and how great NERD was. It's sort of, you can hear where this was kind of the percolation of that.
Yeah.
Kind of the early signs. This is another song called Love Hate Sensation from the album. I got a love hate sensation driving me insane. Crying. There's a better way to roll, a better way to go, a better way to feel. Can you feel me? A better way to roll. So, yeah, these are all great.
Wow,
Ali's so happy right now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling, from his next album, yeah. Say Goodbye to Love was my jam. For yeah. like 3 years, I listened to that song every day.
How frustrating must it have been to come up with an album like this and then just sort of get lost
the
system?
In my opinion, again, it's a classic. And Malcolm Gladwell, who you all know is the guy who came up with 10,000 Hours in the book Blink and all those things, he has a chapter in his book Blink that's called Kenna's Dilemma. And it's about how... Also, Malcolm Gladwell thinks it's the greatest album of the
aughts,
and how despite like the tremendous reaction from critics and record executives, he was still unable to puncture through because the industry plays a part in what you're doing.
Yeah.
You can't just be good.
This story is certainly not unique. I mean, there are a thousand examples of great albums that weren't appreciated at the time. I mean, you know.
I genuinely think this is the best. I don't know how else to put it that way. I do think.
I would also challenge thousands.
Yeah, it's thousands.
Dean, because I don't. Are there that many that are this good that slip through the cracks?
There's never.
Yes,
this is,
I think
this
there
is
are.
Too good, guys. This is Redman. Listen to this.
I think there are.
Listen. Redman's got you crazy, sad, sad. Life is not a daisy, sad, sad. Come on in and save me. Come on, come on. I don't mean to bring it down. I don't mean to bring it down. Legs too weak to walk. We live to crawl. Wow. Another thing, that could have been any year. That could be now. That could have been in 2001 as it was. Like, he went on to help write on Senorita for Justin Timberlake. He's went on to do other things in the business, including he's a big charity guy. He's super climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
For
the
awareness.
Water thing,
yeah,
right?
Awareness, yeah. About clean water. He was involved in the relaunch of MySpace, which I'm sure he's necessarily not hoping is on his Wikipedia. And it's just an awesome album. It's called New Sacred Cow. It came out in 2001. I promise you, everyone I've ever suggested this record to comes back and goes, how is this not the biggest album of the entire decade? And like you said, Bean, this does happen to a lot of people. You know, you're looking at one of them. The industry sort of takes you in, spits you out, and doesn't necessarily hear the album. But I'm telling you, this one should have been a Grammy winner, and I don't think that is the case with many of those examples.
And who's the artist again?
His name is Kenna, and the album is New Sacred Cow. Bean, are you going to try to poop on me here?
I'm not going to poop on you at all. I'm going to tell you that a listener weighed in on the Twitters, mm-hmm. That he is on the Mike Shinoda Fort Minor song, The Hard Way.
He is. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
He shows up in a lot of stuff.
Still out there, still working, still trying to get it going.
Yeah. I saw him once eating at Craig's. So
he is. He's a very cool guy. Yeah. Everyone knows who he is. He's very
eats.
Hip.
He's just
he
like
eats
us.
You guys.
Yeah, he's very hip. He's a hip dude. He's a very nice guy. And also, I just think if there was any world where we could make an album popular 17 years later, this is the
Why
one.
Why not? Why not?
And that was my Get Up On This. Get up, get on up on this. Get up.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, you guys. Would you all agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We love Christmas,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not poo-pooing on Christmas here.
No.
No.
Here's the headline that I saw recently that I brought up that I think is worth some discussion. Nearly 7 in 10 Americans say they'd give up gift-giving this holiday season. Would you? According to a new Harris poll, 69...
Yes. Nice.
Thank you. %, of Americans say they would. 43% of respondents say they feel pressured to buy gifts and spend more money than they can afford. With the extra time and money saved by eliminating gift giving, 60% of Americans say they spend more time with loved ones. By the way, I don't know how that works. I don't know how that connection works. 47% they would save money or invest it. 37% would pay down debt, and 25% say they would use the money on activities with friends and family. So that's the question. If your friends and family agree to it, and we're not talking about kids here because we don't buy presents for kids. Santa brings those.
So sure.
Right.
We have no control.
Right, no control over what Santa does. But we're talking about among friends and family. How would that sit with you, Ali, Jensen, mm-hmm. Kevin, Omar's in the room as well, Chip. Yep. How would that sit with you if they came to you and they said, hey, what about this year if we don't exchange gifts? Would that be copacetic with you?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not an eight-year-old, Bean.
I think so. Yeah.
It would rub me the wrong way.
Ugh.
Omar.
Because I don't want to, so I'm a person that I give gifts and mm-hmm. I don't expect to get anything back.
All right, so let's make that a deal.
Yeah, okay. By the way, the only people who preface something by saying that want something back, just so it's
No, I absolutely don't. And I think, like, that's kind of a dick move is if you're telling me, okay, we're not going to get gifts this year. Like,
I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't. Well, I guess it does.
It does. It does. You're taking that away from me. And I really enjoy the fact that I get to go out and I find, you know, something cool for Allie, something for Kevin. And I love that experience.
How hard is it to find me fireworks?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Or shorts. Same shorts every year.
But if you don't want to do that, and I'm not putting any pressure on you guys to get me anything. But this is pressure you're putting on yourself.
People still feel pressure. If you got me something and I didn't get you something, yeah. I'd feel awful.
But that's on you.
No, hold on. I don't think that's a negative. I don't think Allie's bad for that. I think she's a good person. And she sees she sees that you went out of your way and gave her something thoughtful. And she... That makes her want to have responded in the same way.
Well, that's cool. But that's not the topic here.
Is that pressure there because you're a good person and you don't want it? You know what I mean? You don't want somebody else
right.
to get a lot
so,
of work.
So then why, as a group, say, hey, let's just not get gifts and take that away from somebody? I think that's more of a dick move than having that little bit of pressure to get somebody a gift.
All right, we're going to take your calls, by the way. 1-800-520-1067. Because as you can tell, it's a difficult one to come to an agreement on.
Let me go back to some of the subsets of this Harris poll study, though, where people say that they overspend, for instance. There are people, Omar, who may not have the financial resources that you do. Not us in this room, obviously. We can afford it. But there are a lot of
people. I'm not money bags like you guys are.
No, but there are a lot of people out there who really do find themselves in a tough spot at Christmas time when they're trying to buy presents for so many people, and it's a burden on them that financially drags them down, but they still do feel the pressure because we've all grown up exchanging gifts at Christmas time. And it would be a tremendous relief for those people to not have to spend that money that they don't necessarily
have. And a couple
have.
Statistics from economist Joel Waldfogel.
Oh, he's my favorite.
That I found.
He's my favorite economist.
People value gifts 20% less than the items they actually buy for themselves. So people who are buying gifts aren't even feeling anything good about it. And then on top of that, 42% of holiday shoppers last year used credit cards. That's a terrifying thing considering how much debt everyone is in.
Yeah, true.
Like it's seems like we put too much emphasis on the holiday being about how much you get.
Or have to give, I guess. Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, I don't feel that pressure at all. I like getting Christmas gifts, the period. It doesn't matter. I don't put it like, oh, I have to get
you.
You
like getting or giving?
Giving. Sorry.
Getting.
Yeah.
And he ended it with period. I was like, all right, damn.
Freudian slip over there.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't feel any pressure. This is something I enjoy doing. You know what I mean? It's just something that brings me joy. And I don't go like, okay, Kevin, since he's like, you know, kind of my boss here, I have to get him like $100 or whatever it is. You know what I mean? I just buy something that, whether it's $20 or $100, it's something that I think he will enjoy.
It's thoughtful people that make it so much worse.
They ruin it.
It's true. I've been told by everyone on the staff that I have ruined Christmas before.
You are a very thoughtful
person. Yes. Very thoughtful.
Very, very thoughtful.
And it's nonsense.
Stop it. Well, that Stop ends it. This year. I'm out.
In fact, I used to be a very thoughtful gift giver also, Allie.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then I just got to the point, I don't know what it was, as I got overwhelmed by the pressure of it.
I think
we're
you like us
people.
Less and less.
Oh. No, it's not that. And that's how we ended up coming up with the Wheel of Christmas gifts, where we just spin it and I give everybody Amazon gift certificates, which, by the way, I feel like you guys probably like more than whatever I was going to buy you, because as Jensen said, buying for yourself is a lot more fun.
Yeah.
By the way,
with somebody else's money, especially.
That's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with giving, you know, people a $25 gift card. And if that's going to relieve some of the pressure that you feel like, oh, I have to go out and buy, just get a gift card. If you feel like you have to reciprocate that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But I feel like that's unwarranted, that people that get a gift put that pressure on themselves.
So if you were to give me a gift and I don't get you a gift, you think it's unwarranted that I would feel weird about it? Come on, I'd feel totally weird about it.
Why?
Because we all work together.
Again, but because he's a good person. That's why.
No. But the Christmas, the season of it's a Christmas. It's the season of giving, not getting. Do you understand? Do you guys not understand Christmas?
I've never
at all.
Honestly,
what's wrong with you guys?
I've never been happier.
What the hell?
I've never been happier
Jesus
to be
Christ.
Jewish in my entire life. Ever.
All right, let's talk to John on line one, please, real quick before the break, because he has already instituted this with his family. He's in Ontario, and he joins us. John, what's going on, man? What's your holiday policy?
Well, my family, for years, we've been drawing names for the adult, and this year, for all the kids 18 and under this year we decided we're not going to exchange gifts because we're just there to enjoy the holiday, have the big family party, and there's nothing that any of us really want that we don't buy for ourselves.
Bingo.
What if you don't like your family?
We've all come to the conclusion that no, let's just have the party. And we don't need to exchange gifts.
I totally get that.
Really happy about that.
He's right.
And John, look, do you think maybe like one of your sisters or someone like walked out to their car later that night with another sister and just like, listen, here's what I got you. Handed it to her from the trunk, because I guarantee that happened. Guarantee it.
No.
Well, they didn't want you to know about it then.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, Joe.
You know what happens in my family, too, is we kind of do the same thing, is that anybody that's older, you know, I mean, I guess all the brothers and sisters mm-hmm. get together and we all draw names.
Right.
And we all just pick, you know, get one person a present. Mm-hmm. But I do the same thing, kind of like what Ali was saying. Because I love my brother-in-law, so I'll mm-hmm. just get him a side gift, too.
Yeah.
You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
So Omar's the one that ruins it for everybody.
How dare you?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm hearing that I'm the best person on the goddamn show.
I think you guys do not.
I understand Christmas, right. You Grinch bastards.
1-800-520-1067.
We can't be sneaking around in parking lots giving her gifts under the darkness of night, though.
I mean, you can.
We got to figure this out.
You can.
All right, we'll take some more calls next on K-Rock.
All right, let's remain civil if we can.
No.
Okay. That's hard with Omar in the room.
Right?
We're talking about agreements that some friends and family have come to, excluding children from the equation, obviously.
Now, what does children mean?
Me?
Not as the size.
Oh, okay.
No. What does kids mean? I mean, I think...
I'd say 18 I think and that's, under is fine.
Yeah, 18,
I mean,
that's
whatever the family decides.
I know 18 is old, but it's fine.
I'm 13 and under. much like R. Kelly's love life.
So we're talking about the idea of not giving gifts at Christmas time. How about that if both parties agree to it? Does that destroy the season or is that cool? Let's start with the cheap ass Paul, as Allie calls it. He's in Newport Beach and he'll get us started in this segment on K-Rock.
Hey, cheap ass Paul.
Bubble
to you as well. Bubble what's going on?
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Paul.
So anyway, yeah, exactly. So our family tends to like a little bit better presents. So we've gone with the whole pick a name thing. That way, you know, you're not giving out five $100 presents. You're just styling out one person.
Okay.
But everybody still loves to give. Everybody still loves to get. So we go to the dollar store and buy gifts for everybody else with dollar store gifts. And it turns into freaking insanity.
So give me an example of something. Give me an example of something that people get.
So you get a lot of good stuff at the dollar store, dude. Have you been there? I mean,
but name one.
Yeah,
is
like,
what we're saying.
I'm just thinking you're going to say toilet paper.
Like you can get a nice back scratcher. You know?
Oh, Paul. Oh. I loved it.
Paul, that was so great right till the back scratcher part.
All right. Thank you for calling. See, Paul has kind of proven the point of people who don't want to give gifts, because this is a back scratcher that person doesn't need or want. And it's not a waste of a lot of money, but it is a waste of time and money to give that gift. Stick with we're not giving gifts, if that's going to be the case, I think.
All right. Let's go to Joe in Azusa. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
So I read a book called The Five Love Languages, mm-hmm. and it talks about how people enjoy giving gifts regardless of time of year, but not everybody's going to buy random people and their family gifts all year round. So Christmas gives them that opportunity to focus on one person. So in my family, we do the gift exchange, like a secret Santa
and that allows us to focus our energy on, you know, spoiling one person. Mm-hmm. And that's just something we do for the adults because, of course, the kids get everything from Santa.
Sure. So Joe is saying that Omar's love language is gift-giving.
Yeah, it is.
That sounds like that is working out for Joe, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's a good
system.
Right, thank you for the call. Hey, let's go to Greg Line 3. He has a question for Omar. Mm. Omar is the outlier here in the room, apparently, on this topic, and he wants to find out why.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, I was wondering, Omar, you say you love doing the gift giving, but is it just because you want the recognition?
No.
Like, if you gave the gift anonymously, would you be fine with that? Or do you need to tell people, hey, this is what I got you?
That's a great question. No, I guess I don't need the recognition. No.
I think that's part of it because you are being thoughtful toward me if you get me a good gift.
Yeah.
And he takes time to make it personal and stuff that they're into.
He does wrap it with paper that says from Omar in giant letters, though. So.
Yeah. with like magic markers.
Right.
Yeah. But no, I necessarily don't need the recognition, but I would like to hear, like, if they enjoyed it, though. You know what I mean?
Thanks, by the way.
No, not thanks. That they like the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Should we have a Jewish person in here? Like, you know what I mean? Come on, seriously.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
this
Omar.
Is Christmas.
Sorry, Omar.
Okay, I don't get it, man.
Sorry I didn't wear the yellow armband you wanted me to wear for this whole thing.
This escalated quickly. Come on.
This was supposed to be civil, for God's sakes. Come on now.
From the 562, I agree with Omar, but I don't think it's because... I don't think it's because we're better people. It's because we're addicted to the attention of giving the best gifts, so actually we're selfish. Again, from the 562. All right, let me ask you guys this question. This is something else that I've been thinking about. This year, 2018, more than any other year, there are so many people who need so many things.
Right.
Especially in Southern California, with the shooting, with the wildfires. I would feel better, and I don't know how you guys would feel, if instead of me getting Kevin a gift and he doesn't need anything from me and he buys everything that he wants, if I donated money to the wildfire victims, for instance.
In his name.
Mm-hmm. But we've had this discussion before.
I mean, you could
before.
Send it to my charity, but okay.
All right, your charity too.
I mean, I have a charity.
It's come up on the show before that is that really a Christmas gift? Because now, me giving it in your name isn't really anything for you. So how do you guys feel about that as an alternative to gift giving among your friends and family?
I can only talk for myself. I would be happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to know the
I would be
person.
Happy about that.
If the person's a dick, then not a good gift. If the person's really, chill, then yeah, totally, because it's going to give that person the feels.
Would you feel, Omar, if that's what I did for you, for just as an example?
I would love it.
If that was your gift, that'd be okay with you.
I think that's amazing. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But you'd rather have, like, Red Dead Redemption 2. Or
yeah.
All right.
For God's sakes.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Steve, Los Angeles, please. Line 6. Steve wants to weigh in about the spirit of the season.
Hey, Steve.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Well, good.
So, basically, I found out about the Secret of Santa Claus pretty early because my friends were dicks. My dad... sat me down and told me basically
that Santa was awesome is what he told you.
We know what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
But kids are listening, so...
But he basically said that everyone can be Santa Claus just because giving was... He was basically Christmas. He said basically everyone can be Santa Claus, everyone can do this because just giving a gift feels so great when the person just appreciates it and appreciates you in return. So I'm totally siding with Omar on that.
So you're fine with it, and no sending it to charities, right? And
no
secret
that's
Santa.
That's absolutely fine.
Oh, that's fine.
No. All of that is fine.
All of it's fine.
It's about giving it. It's about giving the gift and trying to appreciate somebody.
It's the season
of giving,
guys.
And that's appreciating a group of people.
Shut up, Omar. All right, Steve, we got you. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go down to Torrance, line 7. Let's say hi to Wendy. She wants to weigh in here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Wendy.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Morning.
Allie, I miss you on Channel 5.
Sorry, thank you.
Say.
They can have her back.
I'm so happy to have her back.
Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Here's our Christmas gift to Channel 5.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that was out loud.
Wow.
Yes, Wendy.
Okay, so I love Christmas. I love giving gifts to people, finding that special thing. My sister, however, would literally... stop at CVS on the way, bring it in, which I hated.
She wrapped it in her car. Wow, that's...
Literally. I'm not kidding. We all had the same wrapper, like some... the receipt... I mean, the sticker.
In other words, she did it because she knew she had to. There was no thought or heart put into it at all.
Exactly. So when she approached us saying, let's not do gifts anymore, I was like, fine, don't buy gifts. But I'm still going to because I absolutely love it.
Get her a back scratcher.
They're only a dollar.
Yeah, they're a big deal. Is that going to cause any kind of tension at all? I mean, isn't everybody going to kind of look at her like the black sheep in the family if she's the only one not giving gifts?
Did you not listen to Wendy explaining her in the car, yeah, wrapping it? We all got the same thing.
I mean, okay. And if she wanted to, if money wasn't an issue and she wanted to get something, a donation in our names, great. At least there was some thought to it.
Yeah. I got you. So right. You're one of the people who likes to put pressure on other people to put a lot of time.
That's not all
what she's saying.
That's not at all what she's saying.
She needs thought. She needs thought and love in the gifts that she gets. Otherwise, don't bother.
Gifts. She's talking saying. About giving, Bean, for God's sakes.
Okay.
All right.
Wendy, you have a lovely voice, by the way. I think we're going to go out on your call because you were so fun to listen to.
What just happened? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
It's another weekend, another chance for the LA Rams to clinch their division. We'll talk to RJ Bell about that. And by the way, I saw an article from an East Coast paper this week talking about how they were starting to think the Chargers were the ones who were going to end up in the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's possible.
There's a lot to be excited about in local football. So RJ on the way from pregame.com in Las Vegas. First Alley's got the what's happening here on a Thursday morning.
Well, Rolling Stone did an article on Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. And they were talking about how, you know, 57 years as a band together. What would 20-year-old Keith think about now doing stadium tours again in the U.S., which they're going to be doing again in, I believe, the springtime. And he said, you know, it's just amazing. I never expected to get around to Louis Armstrong status, blah, blah, blah. Just talking about how it still blows his mind. But here's why I bring this up, because the interviewer for Rolling Stone asked this question, and I thought, well, that's stupid. He said, after playing for decades, what's even the necessity? I can't even talk. Maybe that's why.
It's the bare necessities.
Necessities. Oh, what is the necessity of rehearsal? Like, you've been together forever. Why are you even rehearsing? And then I was like, who would ask something so dumb?
Dumb question, right?
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the weenie roast. And we're like, goddamn weenie roast. Mm-hmm. You guys are Blink 182. What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us, oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different situations, mm-hmm, which we just thought, okay, you do the same old thing every time.
So you could write for Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
I insist you drink both nights of acoustic.
Once I can nail pronouncing necessity, that would be great. Yeah, I was. If people are listening to that for the first time, they're thinking, "Wow, she sounds even more drunk than usual." I was. Yeah, Blink 182. Those poor guys. I believe that question went on about 8 more minutes.
Yeah,
so
it did,
thank you, Bean, for cutting that off. However, I do appreciate Keith Richards saying, "On the surface of it, I understand that question." Oh, thank you. So I felt like he was answering me as well. But he also asked him, what do you make of people doing these 3-year-long, really, this is it, this is my goodbye tour, like Elton John is doing a really long, extended goodbye tour. Does he find it dishonest, that type of thing? And he said, I haven't gotten around to thinking in that head yet. I don't know if you ever know. Maybe this will be the last one. I don't know. The man is 75 years old, and he hasn't yet thought about when the last would be. Is anyone else astounded by that?
Yeah, that's crazy that he hasn't at least thought about
amazing.
It. And said, you know what, I still feel fine, and I want to tour. At least thought about it.
But most amazing thing to me is that Charlie, their drummer, who has been with them since the beginning, is 77. And he's out there drumming for the freaking Rolling Stones every night.
Unreal.
That's what I can't understand. Physically, I don't understand how he can still do it.
Well, they asked Keith Richards, do you do anything physically to prepare for a tour?
Snorts his dad's ashes.
His answer was just 3 simple words. He said, I get up. Oh, good Lord. I love it so much. So Amy Schumer is not afraid of showing off her, you know, what's happening during her pregnancy. A lot of people, when they're pregnant, they'll post those really cute, like, you know, 2-month belly. Oh, look at me. 3-month. Look at my bump. Nope. She's showing pictures of herself vomiting on Instagram. En route to a show in Tarrytown. So she wrote, "Turn off if you have a weak stomach. This was my ride to my show at Tarrytown Music Hall tonight." And then a picture of her at the end of her set. So she wore sweatpants and slippers on stage. She said, "I didn't want to cancel, but now I have to postpone some until I'm feeling human again." So, yeah.
Hmm.
That's not how you want to spend your pregnancy.
I think she's in a
real bad way, a family way. But she's got really bad, like, not just morning sickness. Hers is 24 hours.
Oh, man.
No one wants that, right?
No.
That little baby
could
grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
That's just
really?
Not...
I don't think that's true.
I don't either.
I don't think it's true at all. But in between all of the puking and comedy shows, she has launched a clothing line. It's going to be exclusively at Saks Off 5th as of December 13th. And it's going to be clothes ranging from $38 to $248 bucks, and in clothing sizes, extra small to size 20, which is XXL. So good for her.
All right. Sure.
Keeping
busy.
The
world needed another clothing line.
Yeah, I agree. You're such a dick. So I don't know what this is like, but apparently people that have cats and children have hard time with their Christmas trees. Because cats tend to like to hit ornaments and whatnot. Yeah, sorry.
My cat, Bill, has knocked over many an ornament and
really?
Broken them, yeah.
Okay, and apparently kids, obviously, you're not watching. They just go and just grab the whole tree. Well, there's a company making waves right now called Argos, because they have created a half Christmas tree. So it's literally just the top of it's a fake Christmas tree, but a Christmas tree top, and then just a little skinny trunk going down.
It's a good idea.
Little lights all around the bottom. And they said that way you can put presents and stack them up and make that look nice instead of having the whole tree. What do you think?
Yeah, my cat naturally will hide in the tree also.
Really?
So it's just something that he likes to do.
Like in Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, and then he jokingly will jump out and be like, "Ah!" Like with his little arm out.
And then
like,
he had a heart attack?
Well, and then I sued him. And I actually won $4 million for my cat.
You did from Larry Page Parker?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to collect, but I'm going to go for it.
Cats hide in the tree?
Yeah.
Cats are dicks.
Cats are definitely dicks.
Yeah, no question.
Man. Well, if you're interested, it's a company called Argos. It's on their website as well in their catalogs. It's a half Christmas tree. It's 6 feet tall. Not bad.
I might have to get one just when I celebrate half Christmas on June 25th.
Oh,
awesome to have a half Christmas tree.
Yes.
That is great.
I'm on Argos right now. Thank you.
No problem.
By the way, I'm looking at it right now. It's incredibly sad. I love it, but it's also crazy sad.
See,
it looks like a lamp.
It looks like a parasol or something that you opened up. Yeah, but it's kind of cute.
Yeah. It's just like...
In a Charlie Brown way?
Yeah. If you showed up and someone had this in their house and you didn't know the reason, you'd just be like... Are you guys on meth?
Right.
Like, it would just be a weird. Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
I think the takeaway from this is A, don't have cats, and B, get rid of your kids, right? Yeah. Gross.
Both.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Best number of cats is 0. I have one. I love him, but like, they're dicks. Yeah.
Right. We should have people call in who have cats and hate them.
We've got two in this room.
Right.
Ship hates Mr. Pickles.
Yeah, that's my sister's cat. Yeah, he's the worst.
In my wedding vows, I said to my wife, I said, "I can't wait to live in the home we just purchased with our incredible dog and our mediocre cat." That was in the vows.
Oh. Yeah. Was he listening to you then?
No, we had him at home with headphones on.
Yeah.
Are those cat headphones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And your cat's name is Bill.
Bill, it's a human name.
I love human names for animals. It's
That's
my
Bill
favorite.
Over there, yeah.
I love a dog named Peter or Susan.
Yeah.
Okay. Right?
Beth. Oh, this is my dog, Beth.
What's your dog's name? Oh, that's Frank.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But Susan the dog? Oh.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Got to get one of those a day.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Anna Faris, Don Cheadle. Howie Mandel, Chadwick Boseman, Russell Wilson.
What?
And Vin Scully.
Well, we don't have time now for the beard clip, but we'll do it next time.
Okay. It's disappointing.
Well, you go, it was Cat Talk. Cat Talk bumped us after 8.
The old Cat Talk.
Right.
Got us again.
All this time we could have been playing it, but that's what's happening.
All right, Kevin, you tell me if I can pull this off as we get ready to introduce RJ Bell, okay? It's time to make that paper!
Nope.
Because
he's RJ Bell! RJ Bell!
I think I agree with you.
Yes, he's RJ Bell! RJ Bell!
RJ Bell is the founder of a great website called pregame.com. Not just a website, but a business to make you money, you guys. He was 2-1 last week, a winning record. What, in week 13, RJ, this season, huh?
Well, listen, some would say I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man.
Yeah, look at you, quoting Jay-Z. Nice.
But we've been winning. I mean, listen.
All you do is win.
I mean, I'll just say it like that.
Are you tired of winning?
No.
Pregame.com is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. 2-1 again last week. We're going to talk about this week's games now and start with Kevin's beloved Arizona Cardinals. Tough year to be a Cardinals fan. Woo. Tough year to be a Packers fan, their opponent. What says you, RJ?
Yeah, you think about Arizona. I mean, it wasn't just like 2 years ago. This was an up-and-coming team.
Yeah.
Wowza. Yeah. But this is our big dog. We're going with Arizona plus 14. Touchdowns.
14!
And listen, Green Bay, in the second half of the year, let's say, last 30 years. So second half, the teams have established themselves, right? You can be 0-1, 0-2, doesn't mean much. Get to this late part, second half of the year, it means something. This is literally the second time in 30 years a team with this bad a record, Green Bay, has been favored by 2 touchdowns or more. So the market is telling us this must be a historically good bad record team with Green Bay. I just don't see any reason that's the case. On the other hand, here's some history. We're always contrarian, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If a team loses by 31 or more, that was Arizona last
yes,
week.
Yes, it was.
And they're an underdog this week. 61% against the spread. Why? Because no one wants to bat him. Well, we're going where no one else wants to go. Arizona plus 14.
All right. Best bet game of the weekend for you is the Washington Redskins, and their bitter rivalry with the Philadelphia Eagles gets a new chapter on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and you make a good point. When you play games in division, and especially games in division in primetime, you get full intensity from both teams. The teams are familiar with each other because they're in division. They play twice a year, so you get closer games typically. Now, what's happened with Washington, they had a good start with their record, but their offensive line was just so beat up. Now they're getting back. It looks like their left tackle. That's good. Now, on the other hand, the Eagles, their defensive backfield is beat up, but it's just as beat up as it's been. Oh, some fans might say Alex Smith is out. Colt McCoy is in for Washington. Yeah, that is a downgrade, but not as much as you might think. Only about 2 points. We're getting almost a touchdown in a game we think will be closer. So Monday Night Football, best bet, Redskins plus 6.5.
It must be such a roller coaster ride being an Eagles fan this year, where right? especially how many games they look bad, but then they have halves like they had last weekend against the Giants, where you go, okay, now they're back. So what's going to happen? We'll find out, I guess, Monday night.
Yeah, but you know, let's be candid. And as a Seattle fan, right, if I'm recalling, is when you win a Super Bowl, you kind of give that team the benefit of the doubt for a while, right? Oh, we didn't win this year, no big deal.
Right. Right, absolutely. That's part of it. Right. Big game of the weekend is Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Los Angeles Chargers, who are surging like nobody's business.
Yeah, Chargers impressive. Steelers are favored by 3.5. We like Pittsburgh, the favorite here at home. Pittsburgh is the most emotional team in the NFL. When they're up, they're up. When they're down, they're down. And last week they lost. And usually off a loss, Pittsburgh gets mad. And you know what's amazing? Of all the teams last week, the Steelers outgained their opponents more than any other team. So yardage is the key to winning a football game. Pittsburgh dominated their opponent, Denver, last week better than any team, more than any team. and they still lost the game. So you get a team that's still playing well, Pittsburgh, but that's mad off of losing. And oh, by the way, this defense, Steelers, they have not given up more than 24 points since September. It's almost December. This is a good defense. Lastly, the Chargers, they've been very fortunate with turnovers. The two times this year, they lost the turnover battle. They lost the game. That's a sign of a team that's benefiting from some good luck. We're going with Pittsburgh, -3.5.
All right, so recapping, the big dog is the Cardinals +14 at Green Bay. Best bet, Redskins +6.5 at Philadelphia. Pittsburgh Steelers -3.5 hosting the L.A. Chargers. What are the, I know the Rams were favored at the beginning of the season to win the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly from you, RJ. And I mentioned the Chargers have been surging. What are their odds up to now to make it and win to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, right now the Saints are favored, right? And this is pretty amazing with the Saints. They play tonight. If they've won 9 straight against the spread.
Right.
If they win tonight against the spread, it'd be 10 in a row. It'd be the first team since 1992 to win 10 straight against the Vegas spread. So
wow. We
got the Saints right there. Chargers are 5th or 6th favor. You know, if you shop around, you can get 10-1, 12-1. So they're certainly well respected. But remember, the odds of the Chargers winning their division above above Kansas City is unlikely. So it's going to be a tough path. They're going to have to win 3 games just to get to the Super Bowl, the Chargers would. And some of those games, more or 2 of them, in theory, would be on the road. Even before the Super Bowl.
All right, that's a really good point to keep in mind. You can get all the information from RJ Bell at pregame.com, of course. Don't forget the RJ Bell's Dream Preview podcast, which includes college football and NFL episodes each week. And the Daily Radio Show is straight out of Vegas with RJ Bell. It's the first national sports betting show. Hit him up on Twitter. Let him know how you're doing with his picks at RJ in Vegas. Have a great week. We'll do it again next time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Once a year, just ahead of the L.A. Auto Show, we invite our good friend Bo Bachman, the president of Galpin Motors, into the studio. He is here right now. First of all, let's welcome Bo.
Hey!
Second of all, let's find out why Jensen is calling him Uncle Bo. What's this relationship we don't know anything about?
What is happening?
My father worked at Galpin Ford for 13 years as first a salesman, then a manager. But I was the most annoying 9-year-old pest running around the dealership. They used to give out these chips for free sodas.
Yep.
I would take hundreds of them and put them in my pockets, store them for later.
They must have hated you.
Oh, I can't imagine anyone liked me at the entire dealership. But people like Bo were very sweet to me and allowed me to be a real jerk brat walking around the dealership.
Oh, you weren't that bad.
Oh, that's very sweet.
You don't remember.
But his dad wrote my college recommendation letter.
Is that right?
Yeah, wow. My parents knew his parents. I mean, it's a long relationship that I'm happy he sees me with actual facial hair at this point.
Oh, it's so bizarre because I had no idea Jensen was Jensen.
Yeah.
So,
oh, you didn't?
I worked with his dad for years. His dad was my manager as well and a dear friend.
Yeah,
your mom was always so much fun. You know, I'd see your mom at like parties and events.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, maybe
like that.
Explain that one a little more.
No, yeah. Oh, she was always having a good time. So cool. And, dude, when I heard that you were here, you know, I had no idea who you were and said, oh, that's Jensen Karp. Like, what?
That's really funny.
is it
last time I heard
Jensen?
You were Hot Carl.
That's
you
right. Know? That's yes. right.
That was a good time.
I was, like, following his career and, you know, be like, hey, you know, he's actually, like, pretty good at SC, and I was like hearing things. I'm like, you're kidding me. Yeah. No, not really.
They're like, we're just going to hand him soda coins.
Yeah. Is it possible, Jensen, that Bo is your real dad?
Honestly, it would make more sense. I do remember Bo when he was like, it looked like he was in Warrant. Like you were like an 80s rock guy.
Ouch, that hurts a little.
I
had 90s long hair, not 80s long hair.
All right,
just to be clear. But it was
cool.
Long.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, listen.
And I'm definitely not old enough to be his father. I just want to point that out.
Put that
God out. Sake, please. Right, guy's got gray beard here.
Yeah. I'm not young anymore. Yeah. No.
We have a lot that we want to discuss, and as always, we are going to include phone calls from the Kevin and Bean listeners if they have questions on anything automotive, especially with new models and new cars and whatnot and trends in the auto industry. You're welcome to call to talk to Mr. Bachman, 1-800-520-1067. But I want to start off by saying that we had, even though we've had you, you know, every year, many years in a row now for this appearance,
we thought about bumping you for the guy who runs the Florida dealership this year. I mean, there was some, like, why are we having the big loser in when we could have the biggest dealership in America?
Why number two and not number one?
Yeah, it kind of sucks right now. Well, it's not over yet.
It's not over yet.
A race ends at the finish line, okay?
I see.
Right now, we're like a couple hundred units behind Brandon Ford in Florida. And this is like, you know, for us, 28 years in a row, we're doing everything we can.
That's a lot of pressure for 28 years in a row.
You know, it is. And it kind of would suck on my watch to lose that. And so we're doing just anything we can to sell Fords through the end of the year here.
Have you sent anyone down to Florida to see what they're doing? Is it cookies? What are they offering the people?
Yeah, it's actually an old friend of ours that was from L.A. area.
Oh, so, he took the secret.
Yeah, exactly. Stealing him out there. And I saw him at, you know, at an event. And he's like, oh, no, I'm sure you guys are going to win, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you're so full of it.
Oh, man.
So,
son of a bitch.
We're coming for you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh, but seriously, if you are already, I mean, you already, this is going to sound like a commercial, but it's not. I'm just saying this because of the people that I know that have worked with you and bought cars with you. I mean, you already are a great dealership to the customers, and you offer them, you know, all sorts of benefits from buying from you and everything, and customer service. There's a point at which you can't sell a car and not lose money. So you can only go so far down, right?
So
Definitely lose money.
I was going to say, I remember this as having a father who would come home and talk about work. They do lose money on a lot of cars when they have to get rid of them.
Oh, is that right?
Either at the end of the year or when you're up against another dealership, they're like, oh, we'll take a loss on this one, we'll take a loss on this one.
I assumed with Bean that was never a thing.
No, it's definitely a thing.
Today, it is more
is
often
right?
than not a dealer will lose money selling cars.
Does
I know
that mean you're
insane.
Bad at it?
It's just the market. You know, internet pricing's out there. People are very competitive. They're trying to get people into the dealership. So they throw out the low ball pricing. And that's kind of what we.
Wow.
That's our new normal now.
If you have to fight with.
If you had to say, what is the best time to get a car with that deal?
Yeah.
When would that be?
Well, when a dealer is desperate, we are right now.
End of the year.
Okay. When you're number two.
There are times where, you know, we're incentivized from the factory. We have to hit certain numbers.
Yeah.
So at that time, you know, can be a big push. So there can be times, end of month sometimes can be actually a big push, believe it or not. Sometimes beginning of month is better. So it kind of depends on what's happening in the manufacturer's world. But believe it or not, today, when you put the rebates in there, almost 100% of the time, a customer will buy a car for less than a dealer paid for it.
Really?
Because
how
the,
do you
because
stay
the
in business?
Well, you get a rebate from the manufacturer as
oh,
well.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But even
okay.
with that, it's still, it's a, you know, it's become a hyper-competitive industry.
Just, sure.
That's how it
sure,
is.
Sure, sure, sure.
Wow.
All right. Well, this is a great tip for our listeners that if they're at all thinking about a new car, it sounds like December at Galpin's the way to go. All right. The other big issue that's in the news right now that I wanted to ask you about is General Motors made a lot of news this week, not only with like 14,000 people, but also discontinuing a whole bunch of sedans. And I feel like that's kind of a continuation of a conversation we had last year about how more and more people want to drive SUVs and trucks, right?
Yeah, the market's really shifted, and cars aren't going to go away, and sedans aren't going to go away. But people like that higher seating position. Now gas mileage is pretty comparable to a car, so more people are going into crossovers and SUVs. That's kind of the trend for now. So, yeah, I was even a little shocked at the GM announcement myself.
You were?
Yeah, it took the industry by a little surprise there. That's a major move.
I would expect you would have heard something about
that. That's shutting down 4 huge plants in North America and huge layoffs. I mean, it's that's significant.
Wow. The other news.
So you're number two, and you didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've been asleep most of this year.
What's here together?
Hello, Brandon Ford. It's Jensen Carter. I'm coming over.
The other news. That came out of that GM announcement that I thought was noteworthy, Bo, and I wanted to get your take on is they are discontinuing their hybrid Volt. Because they're just selling the all electric Volt. Is the era of the hybrids, like Priuses and cars like that, on the way out because we're trying to get to all electric now? Is that where we're going?
Well, first of all, I think the Volt announcement, I thought that was nuts. That took me by surprise because, you know, that was a significant vehicle. It's got a great name to it. Now they have the Bolt, which is their all electric, but it's much smaller. Actually, you're going to see more hybrids coming. You're going to see a proliferation of plug-in hybrids, which means that you can have kind of best of both worlds.
That is not a word. Whatever it was you just said was not a word.
He meant proliferation, I think.
That's the word I meant.
Okay, yes. Gotcha. All right.
I speak
it's
both.
Hard to talk, you know?
You don't have to tell me.
You're speaking to the preacher of the choir.
All right, so more hybrids.
More hybrids.
You're going to have more hybrids and especially plug-ins, which means you can run, you know, anywhere from 20 to 40 miles on pure electricity, and then the gas engine kicks in.
Oh, so interesting. So it's not a mix as you drive. It's just you use up the battery.
Well, some use a mix as you drive, and some you use up the battery. Or you can just leave it on pure electric. So you're going to see actually that become very common.
Do you sell a bunch of electric and hybrid cars as well?
We do, and we have a lot more that are coming. So we just the Jaguar I-Pace just arrived, and that thing is beautiful, and it drives amazing. That's a pure electric. Ford's coming out with a pure electric, and this sounds completely bizarre, but a Mustang-inspired crossover pure electric car. And it's
Does it make any noise, though?
Nope. They're quiet, and it's going to be amazing.
I need that.
Oh, you can do it with your voice when you're driving. Yeah.
When I drive?
I can have that recorded.
Okay,
so like,
They did that. They made a joke on that on the TV show Weeds, where they used it for a drive-by because no one could hear them coming up.
This is actual secret, but you know, back when I was on product committee, like one of the engines was so quiet that they actually did put it in the speaker system to make it sound more rumbly. So
is
as you hit
right?
the gas, yeah, that was totally going on for a while.
That's funny.
Were cheating the sound.
That's bizarre.
Bo Bachman is the president of Galpin Motors. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have car-related questions, and then we'll talk some about the Los Angeles Auto Show, which is going on starting tomorrow through the 9th at the Convention Center. It's going to be huge this year, again, with over 1,000 vehicles, the latest cars, trucks, SUVs, tons of electric vehicles, concepts, and much more. A quick break, and back with Bo right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Bo Bachman in studio with us now on the Kevin Amin Show. We're trying to find pictures right now of Bo with his hair down to his waist.
I mean,
sides of his
fur
head shape.
Coats, full fur coats, looking like a pimp.
Tell us what you look like when you met your wife.
When I met my wife.
What did you look like?
I had eyeliner, I was wearing a fur jacket, and nail polish. A sparkly nail polish, too.
See, that's why women are better than men, because she saw through that. She didn't walk away.
She realized
she
you
tried
could be
to
saved.
Walk
she
away.
Tried to walk away.
Yeah,
I see. Okay.
I
all right,
I
go.
Want to get to some calls, so let's hit the L.A. Auto Show real quick. It opens up tomorrow. What's Galpin? You got the Hall of Customs returning down there again this year?
Yeah, we got about 30,000 square feet down there, about 40 cars, customized hot rods. We got classic cars in there. We represent Aston Martin, so we got five of the hottest Aston Martins and Lotus, Jaguar, some of the most amazing Fords. It's a lot of fun, and the show this year is really amazing.
Blast. Even if you don't love cars, you're going to have a great time at that show.
Yeah, I invited a bunch of friends last night. Some who had never been to the auto show, mm-hmm. some had been like every year, and they were all blown away. And
awesome.
LA has become more important. Detroit has kind of faded away, and now Detroit, with Detroit going down, LA is become the biggest show in the country now. So
you've seen
the manufacturers start to spend even more money and really make the displays amazing.
Wait till Florida hears about it.
Yeah,
right?
They don't got nothing in Florida.
All right, let's take some calls, Bo, because you generally know what's going on, although you haven't really proven it here today without surprises. Let's start with Tony line. Is that what I meant? Yeah, Tony line three, please. Corona, if you wouldn't mind. Let's get him on first with Bo.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Paul Pozell. Mr. Bachman, this is a great honor, and I know you're going to put people's mind at rest. My question is about the new Bronco. There's been pictures leaked, and obviously of the baby Bronco. What I would like to know is if there's going to be two different sizes, and if you have personally laid eyes on it. Please tell me you have, and don't tell me it's going to be some little wuss truck like the baby Bronco.
You can't ask a question and give him the answer.
No little wuss trucks. That's the most important thing. I have seen both of them. There is going to be a baby Bronco yet to be named, as well as a full-size Bronco. Now, the full-size Bronco is kind of a medium size.
Mm-hmm.
They are true off-road vehicles. So the Bronco is going to be a true Bronco that is off-road capable. It's going to be a true Jeep Wrangler fighter.
And does it look like the old Bronco?
It's going to have a modern twist on that. So you'll be able to tell it's a Bronco, but it's modern.
And run from the cops.
So, it does come in white. And then there's a baby Bronco that's coming out, and it is so badass. It is really going to be cool. And I've
seen
that.
And that's like a fire wheel.
Well, it's just a little bit smaller, more affordable. And if you know, it won't have quite the off-road capability of a Bronco, but it'll still be completely off-road.
Well, that's not for Tony from Corona. He wants the big Bronco.
I think he was thinking
Hot Wheels is what I meant.
Thinking more classic Bronco, like the vintage Is that what I'm thinking?
No,
is
there's,
that
a,
what
there's a brand new one coming out, right, and then there's a small version.
But, showing it to Ellie.
Oh, I was going to say, remember the old Ford Broncos? I thought that was the big rumor, that they were bringing back that body style.
Not that one. So they're going back to the original classic style Bronco.
Okay.
But you'll, right.
Can you
we'll
tell
see
us
soon.
About the updated Wrangler, the Jeep Gladiator? That's new this year, right?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it yesterday, but it's basically a Wrangler with a pickup bed on the back of it. So I don't know why they haven't done this before.
Okay. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we go to, let's go to Alberto Irvine. I like, he's on line 6. I like Alberto's thinking because he's thinking even past electricity. Hey, Alberto.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What's your question for Bo?
Cool. So I wanted to know if Bo had any update on the development of hydrogen fuel cell cars and the development of the hydrogen infrastructure to support them.
Yeah, so hydrogen's really taken a backseat to electrification at this point, and there's actually very few companies that are currently working on it.
Just because no one wants to buy them?
Well, it's a very complicated system, an expensive system to build, and the infrastructure is not there. You know, at least at home, we've got electricity. You can go out and plug things in, even though it might take a while. So the infrastructure is a big one, and quite frankly, I think the world has kind of decided it's going to be electricity. So I think there are still some companies that are developing hydrogen, but they're really on the back burner. Everyone's going all in electric now.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Chrissy Westminster. It's not a specific question. She's on line 7. Not a specific question about the auto show or any new cars, but just for car owners in general. Hey, Chrissy.
Hi. I was just wondering the best time to upgrade your lease. I have a Ford Edge, and I'm having a baby any day now. And I still have a year left on my lease, and I'm probably going to be over in miles. And I don't want to get screwed over.
A year left.
If you have a year left and you're already over.
The answer is right now. You know, I'd have to take a look at that deal for you. If you want, if there's a reason to get out early, you know, especially having a baby, you might need something larger. There's a lot of times that we can get you out of a lease earlier and you not get penalized or too much or anything. So it really depends on when incentives are coming out and, you know, what kind of programs. I know that sounds kind of like broad-based, but our programs change from like day to day sometimes, and we really need to know, like, okay, right now, what are you looking at to be able to see what programs are available? And sometimes we'll have a crazy incentive on something. So if they're negative on their car, they get a huge rebate over here so we can erase that negative. So,
interesting.
And it's a lot of, I don't know if I answered your question exactly, because there's no quote, you know, best time, but there are better times. And those better times are when dealers are desperate.
Ford Truck Month.
Yeah, so like truck month, there's extra incentives that go on the trucks, you know, for that period of time. And like, you know, right now is the end of the year clearance. So
would it
head
help,
on over to Galpin.
Would it help if she came in pregnant or looking really exhausted with a newborn? Which would sway you?
Either way, okay. I'm very sympathetic to that. We got six kids. So, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, some of the kids, we got to take care of them. No, that is a consideration. We want to make sure we take care of you.
For
sure. Someone who can't walk around and, you know, we want to make it easier for them to shop. It's not easy to shop with a baby. Maybe.
Yeah.
Are leases continuing to be more popular year after year after year, Bo?
Leases kind of become a normal way of doing business today. So, you know, it's more prevalent in some manufacturers than buying by far. What's interesting now are subscription services, and they haven't quite taken off yet. But I think there's going to be a very interesting.
What does that mean?
So basically, instead of buying a car or leasing a car, you're going to subscribe. So you have a monthly payment, and that's it. All you have to do is put gas in the car. You never have to worry about fixing it. You never have to pay for oil changes. Everything's in one payment. Your insurance is in there, and that's it.
So then when do you want a new one?
Then you pay for as long as the subscription goes. And then after that point, you have the option if you wanted to buy it out or subscribe again.
It's like a long-term zip car.
It's,
you know what I mean?
It's
amazing.
And, you know, this is just starting, you know, to take place. But I think it's going to become very prevalent. It also allows you to switch cars more easily as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves.
That is interesting. All right. LA Auto Show going on. Starting for the public, going on starting tomorrow through December 9th at the LA Convention Center, laautoshow.com. Tickets just $5 for kids, $12 for adults, and make sure you stop by the Galpin's Hall of Customs. Return to the LA Auto Show. 40 awesome vehicles on display, valued at over $30 million. Before we let you go, though, Bo, Zero Club.
Oh, jeez.
Gotta ask. Boy, oh boy. I know we brought it up last year, but the Zero Club that Kevin created and the cult leader he is made people just fall in line with running your car as low as possible on gas before you get gas. It still can't be good for your car, though, right?
Bo texted me a picture of his own car.
I did
on
it.
The
I'm so proud of this moment. And I have to give my wife credit because she's like nonchalantly, oh, can you take the van in for gas? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. So by the time I drop off the kids, the needle buried not only where the red is, but the space between the red and the needle.
Oh, as low as it can go.
Space between.
Wow.
And he took a picture of it and texted it to me.
I was so, proud of that.
What's your sweet. Official smart car guy theory or thoughts on the Zero Club? Do it or don't do it.
I mean, it's not good for your car.
It's not a good idea to do. It's dumb, okay?
Just it's
dumb. Don't do it. Don't do what I do. Yeah.
I also would like to just also say, Bo every year gives us trucks for our Friends and Helpers charity. We got like 3 tickets because we parked them on the street. Do we pay that or do you? I'm not sure how that works.
Now's a good time to ask. They got to be Brandon Ford in Florida.
Yeah, I better pay him now.
But here's what happens is we just let them know how many trucks we need, and he says, fine. And we take them, and we wreck.
And you bring them back empty.
We wreck several of them and just take them back, right. And he goes,
Bo, you're too pure for this world.
It's really, really a nice thing that you do.
You guys are doing all the work, and I really appreciate what you and Melissa do. It's amazing, and it helps our community. We're happy to help, too.
While we're being earnest, the Bachman family and Galpin meant so much to me in my life that when I heard that Bo was coming in, it was, like, epic for me because I really did. I grew up in that place, and sort of so much of, like, my thoughts on business and stuff came from – I went to the Green class. I took a sales class at Galpin when I was like 13, 12.
Oh, man, they must have hated you.
Oh, yeah. Listen, if I could get you at this price, can I get you out the door today? I know all the terms, and I'm saying it meant a lot to me, and your family always meant a lot.
Well,
so
if this doesn't work out,
you
can come sell cars.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
That was fun having Bo in.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Smart man.
Always.
Speaking of smart people, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsey coming up just after 9. This one is going to be very interesting to a lot of our listeners because there is rehab for Fortnite now, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's a problem for some people, so we'll talk to the doctor about it. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Thursday morning.
Well, Bean just sent me a story, and he said this is going to be something you want to talk about.
Okay.
And it's something I want to talk about. I don't know if anyone else will care. But thank you, Bean, for sending it. Here's the thing. You know my love for The Greatest Showman. Love that movie so very much.
Yes.
Would you be interested in Hugh Jackman heading on the road? He has just announced he's embarking on the man, the music, the show, world tour. He's going to be doing hits from The Greatest Showman and Les Miserables, as well as some other Broadway shows, you guys.
So he's going on the road doing a concert tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never been less interested in something in my life.
I knew you wouldn't.
But a lot of people will want to. First of all, everybody loves Hugh Jackman. I'm sure that's going to be a very entertaining show.
Sure.
And second of all, he's a great singer.
Yeah.
So why not?
Why not? If you're interested in L.A., he's going to be at the Hollywood Bowl for 2 shows.
Oh, I had him busy those 2 shows.
I didn't even tell you the date.
In July.
Of what year?
2019.
This is 2020.
Oh, no, I have something that I'm taking you to.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. That's when that is?
Yeah, I was going to send you an email later, but those are the dates they picked.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's 2019. It's July 19th and July 20th at the Hollywood Bowl. That will sell out, you guys. If you don't think it will, you don't know people like me.
Oh, no, I think it'll sell out.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Just not with me.
Yeah.
All right. So it doesn't interest you.
Call now.
No, we don't need people to call.
No, we don't need to do that.
No one's trying to get those tickets.
Nope.
How dare you? You guys, I read this story, and I thought, this is beyond bizarre. So we all know Phil Spector.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
I mean, personally?
No, well, hopefully not.
No.
He's, currently in prison, serving 19 to life for murder. But back in the day, he was married to Ronnie Spector.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? They had a 6-year marriage filled with fear and abuse. Just a bad situation. But she just did an interview with People where she talked about a really bizarre turn in the relationship in 1971 where they pulled up to their mansion. There's a fountain and these 2 twins running around. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed twins. And she said, "What is this?" And he said, "Merry Christmas!"
What?
He adopted twins, didn't tell her. They were just there when she drove home.
What?
And she said everything was a surprise, and no woman wants live children as a surprise.
That's a horrible surprise.
Is that the most insane thing you've ever heard?
I mean, unless you've been trying for a long time and you know she's really invested, but still, it's a horrible surprise.
It's not a German shepherd.
Right.
No. You know what I mean?
She said,
even a guinea pig.
No.
Don't bring a guinea pig into the house without discussing with your wife, right?
She said there was no conversation about children.
Oh
no, Ronnie, what do you think? Should we adopt twins? Nothing. Just drove in.
Wow.
Twins playing by the fountain,
also,
by the way.
Crazy enough, that's not the craziest and worst thing that a Spectre's ever done.
Absolutely. By the way, those twins, Gary and Louie, are now 52 years old. But how bizarre is that story? Just you're coming home from dinner, you're like, who are those kids? They're ours! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
So did it, I mean, did it work out? Did she ultimately accept them and be their stepmom?
When she escaped him, she got full custody of those kids.
Okay.
So they've been obviously her children forever. But how crazy is that
story?
Yeah.
We need to do a phone topic on the biggest surprise your spouse ever sprung on you.
Yes.
Nothing will top that.
Yeah, I just got a turntable and I made sure with Danielle. I was like, will it fit in the house? Like, I was like, does it work for you?
It's crazy.
I can't believe we've never heard that story.
And not just a kid, but twins.
Twins, yeah.
I mean, even just one kid.
Insane.
It's better.
Yeah.
Insane, but better.
Right.
Two kids. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
He makes good choices. Back to you.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift has been named most influential person on Twitter in 2018. And you may say to yourself, well, that makes sense. No, she has only tweeted 13 times this year. What?
Can Bean recite all of them?
Probably.
Go ahead, Bean.
I can't do that, but that is very bizarre. Did they just mean, I mean, she doesn't have the most followers of anyone on Twitter, so how do they make her most influential?
They said the scores are based on a range of Twitter metrics, but the methodology that they mostly focused on was how much genuine engagement the individual accounts created.
So when she tweets, it's important, basically.
It's an important thing.
Yeah,
there's a lot of likes, retweets, a lot of comments on it type of thing.
Don't you feel like there are other people who have that same stuff but tweet more?
Tweet more,
yeah,
but
maybe
it's also that she doesn't tweet a lot, so then it gets even more engagement.
It's possible.
So. I mean, she's very active on Instagram. That's where most of her, you know, most of her interaction
same.
With Magic come with.
Sorry.
That's a weird choice.
I agree. All right, some birthdays for you. Chadwick Boseman, Howie Mandel, Don Cheadle, Anna Faris, and Vin Scully.
Oh, now you want it. Okay, hang on.
How's
this a surprise?
That was on me.
Here we go.
I'm not going to do it now because there's two out and the base is empty, but sometime during the game, if you've been like the way I have been, looking at players with these big beards, I decided I'm going to do a little research on beards.
Oh.
So during the game, there's plenty of them around. We'll tell you a couple of stories as we go through it.
About beards.
$2.
How much do you guys
all
want?
Oh, yeah, please.
On second inning, no score. And first pitch, fastball, first strike.
Okay, go back.
First of all, they say way back to the dawn of humanity, beards evolved, number one, because ladies like them.
Oh,
right.
And number two, it was the idea of frightening off adversaries and wild animals.
This is an actual real piece of tape
from an
actual game that was broadcast.
Yep.
There's somebody out there going, what's going on with the Dodgers? And they're hitting the radio.
And in what other sport would he have that much time?
God bless Vin Scully.
Amen.
Happy birthday to the best ever.
Here's the one strike pitch, swung on and missed strike two. In fact, it was so serious, if you look it up, there's a divine mandate for beards in Leviticus and Deuteronomy.
Oh!
No balls and two strikes, they count.
He's still talking about
the first base side of the
about
rubber.
About the beards, you guys.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
If he wasn't the most loved broadcaster in the world, would anyone put up with that?
I don't think
somebody today that was sort of a new broadcaster went into a deep dive on beards, Uh-huh. He'd get destroyed.
I don't think that's something you should attempt to do in your first 20 seasons. Or right. call it a sport.
But when you're Vin Scully, you can get away with it.
You can get away with it. Yeah. And I enjoyed every word of it. All right. There's a lady in the news named Debbie Vitney. She is fighting a losing battle with her 17-year-old son, Carson. He has been logging on to play Fortnite for 12 hours a day. She says he's in the grips of an addiction like heroin. And like many other desperate parents, is sending him to rehab to beat it. Look, video game addiction has been around for a long time. But because Fortnite is so popular, we are seeing more and more of these stories. So we thought we'd check in with our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, who knows all about addiction, and find out what's up. Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to talk to you. How you been?
I've been good. I mean, your producer hung up on me as I was trying to get on the air here.
That's what happened. I saw that you were there, and then you went away, and I was like, yeah. Oh, that's odd.
Oh, we call that daved. You got daved.
I got daved. Man, I did.
Yeah. Not my fault.
Dr. Drew, you have told us before in just a few words, what is the definition of addiction? What are the negative impacts that addiction has on you?
Right. So addiction in a sort of global sense is a biological disorder whereby the manifestations are progressive preoccupation and use of something or a behavior in spite of adverse consequences, and those adverse consequences are health, financial, legal, relationships, work or school, and then some degree of denial about it. And those are the essential criteria, the broad strokes criteria. Now, there are more formal diagnoses in the DSM-5 these days under substance use disorder and even under sort of video game type disorders. Behavioral addictions, but ultimately they really are ongoing behaviors despite consequence.
Is there a video game rehab?
There are places now that are doing that, but I got to tell you, in my experience, most of these kids have some other psychiatric problem that they're sort of Well, but I mean, with addiction, you can start with some sort of unpleasant affect state that you're trying to manage, and then you end up with a second problem, which is your biological addiction to a substance. With video game addiction, it's a little less clear, but in other words, if you treat the psychiatric problem, the video game addiction tends to settle down, as opposed to that not being the case with chemical substance addiction.
That was my number one question when I saw this story. Are they treating some kind of underlying trauma like they do with an alcohol or drug addiction?
Well, it's different. See, with alcohol and drug addiction, the underlying trauma is the reason they go for the alcohol in the first place, but you literally have two problems. You have the trauma and the addiction now. And if you treat the trauma too early, you make the addiction worse.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to have two courses of treatment. In this, it's a little more on the psychiatric side. The problem is, and this is where it's getting kind of weird and interesting, the way the manufacturers of these video games are putting these things together with such stickiness, they literally are hacking us. They are actively going after our brains.
Isn't that their job?
It is their job,
yeah.
And it is a sinister job when you get right down to it. I mean, between Fortnite and Red Dead Redemption 2, we're just going to turn into floating heads with a single finger moving them out.
That's Bean's dream.
Oh, I can't wait for those days. I hope I live long enough to be a head in a jar, Doc. There's a person in this article who dropped out of high school at age 15 because he was addicted to video games. That's all he wanted to do. I don't know how he got away with it with his parents. I mean, 20 hours a day he would be playing video games. I mean, there's something going on in your brain where you feel like you literally can't walk away from it, right?
Yeah, it's sort of one of the manifestations is kind of dissociation, almost a hypnotic or dreamlike state. And in that state, you can feel kind of euphoric. And let's be fair, people are making a living doing competitions with these games, getting sponsored by it's crazy.
But just like the NBA and all sports, it's just the tiny, tiny, tiny amount of people.
Yeah, but to be devil's advocate, if your kid wanted to go outside and get incredible at basketball and you saw some skill in him to become a millionaire, would you feel the same way about him being addicted to basketball?
No.
If it was LeBron James, but the probability of that is obviously 1 in 350 million, what I would do is tell the child, hey, focus on your studies. You got to get through college. If you play in college and things go well, the probability of then going on to the pros, very low. So make sure you study.
Wow, yeah. So really beat him down.
the optimistic support of Dr. Drew Pinsky, everyone.
Well, look, you want your kid
dream
to have
killer.
You want your kid to have a balance in his life. You want all people to have a balance in their life and not just be about one thing, right?
I mean, that's the man who wants to be the floating head.
Right. Well, that's right. True. Right? True. That's true. So, Dr. Drew, so you're, in broad strokes, you're saying if somebody seems like a normal, well-adjusted kid who gets along with his family and has friends and other interests and plays sports or whatever, and then all of a sudden, within a couple of months, ends up being on Fortnite 12 hours a day, that kid probably had something going on we didn't know about?
Or a major psychiatric illness is beginning to come on, which is what tends to happen between 16 and 22, particularly 18 and 22. But I'm putting a coda on that, and I'm saying that as the manufacturers, the designers, are making these things intentionally more and more and more addictive, maybe they will break into a zone where we all will have a heroin-like effect from these things. That's the risk here. And I would argue that social media already has a grip on us in a similar fashion.
I don't disagree with you on that. I do not disagree with you on that at all. People are just tethered to their phones now.
So that's the same people doing the slot machine effect, right? Like those people are on purpose making social media and video games to hit that spot in our brain.
Well, and when you look at people that say video poker or slot machines, they break down into different categories too, right? The dissociative. In fact, I've seen cases of people going to casinos in diapers. They dissociate so thoroughly.
Oh, my type of person.
That is sexy. That is sexy.
So in this particular story, the mom is sending the kid to rehab. Is that how it should happen, or should they seek like psychiatric help?
Yeah, what I would do is get a very thorough psychiatric assessment, and then if that... That assessment yielded that a separate diagnosis emerged that was really just the video game addiction that needed its own treatment, much like if a chemical addiction needed a separate treatment, then I would think about it. On the other hand, if you can't get control on the environment of this kid where he can get some abstinence, where you can begin to treat the psychiatric problem, well, an environment that really does that for you might not be a bad thing.
All right. Good stuff, as always. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the line every week at this time on K-Rock. DrDrew.com is the website. You can find all of the podcasts there, including the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Drew, the Swole Patrol with Mike Catherwood, Dr. Drew Midday Live, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC, and download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play to see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home. Have a great week, Doc. We'll talk to you next time.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
All right, Allie, what do you have for you for us for what's happening as we prepare to say goodbye for today?
Wow, what's the rush?
No, I'm not rushing. I'm just saying, let's go out with a bang.
Okay, how about
Let's get enough altitude to lift us off the boat.
It's a great point. How about a pair of tickets to see Jim Jeffries?
All right.
It's the Night Talker Tour. It's happening at the theater at Ace Hotel April 5th of next year.
Well, you're very good off. You're good off. You're better off.
That was not at all what I meant to say.
It was an interesting choice, for sure.
You're the one that said, let's go out with a bang?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I completely screwed everything
up. How
do
you think it's going so far?
I'm so sorry,
you guys. It's okay. Yeah, it's fine. Let's take caller 15 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you're going to get a pair of tickets to see Jim Jeffries, the Night Talker Tour, at the Theater at Ace Hotel, April 5th, 2019.
Call right now, and we'll get right back to you.
Nope.
I mean, no. You guys remember, think way back to 2016, when I told you my friend Georgia had launched this podcast with a friend of hers, Karen. They talk all about murder.
Sure.
We should definitely have him in. You guys were like, ugh, Allie, I don't want a friend of yours in here. And I was like, no, really, they're good. And so we had them in, the ladies from My Favorite Murder podcast.
Yes.
And then that thing just blew up. Unbelievable. They sell out shows across the world.
Yeah, they did.
You guys.
They did 7,000 seats in L.A.
Yeah, it's insane
but
to me.
But because of us?
Oh, no, not what I'm saying at all.
Good.
No, actually, not even a little.
I thought you were going for that.
No, they were going to do a 9,000-seater, but right. They had to do 7 because of this show.
No, not what I'm saying at all. But
okay,
sometimes,
good.
You know, I pitch things that you're like, no one cares about that.
Sure.
You know, whatever. People care about My Favorite Murder. They've got, you know, a book coming out next year, Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered. Well, just yesterday, they launched Exactly Right. That's their new podcast network. They're creating all of this in partnership with Stitcher, so it's all podcasts that they're arranging for their own network. We now know the lineup. First is a serialized true crime narrative podcast called The Fall Line, which there's already been one season of it, so they're joining for the second season. This podcast that I'm about to tell you about, I can't wait. And I feel like it's right in Kevin and Bean's pocket.
All right.
How we whip people up into a frenzy.
Needless frenzy.
Needless frenzy.
Yeah.
This podcast will kill you.
That's the name of it.
Hosted by an epidemiologist and an ecologist. It's a show for those who enjoy a good medical nightmare. Each episode focused on a different disease, breaking open its history, how it works, and how scared you should be of it.
That's terrifying.
It is. I love it so much. Another one, Do You Need a Ride? That is Karen and comedian Chris Fairbanks. The show is premised on their driving their guests to and from the airport and everything that ensues during that ride. So it's like a comedians and cars getting coffee, but with them, and it's dangerous. That's all I'm saying. And then this one will interest cat people. I am not one of them, but it's called The Purrcast. It's a podcast where cat people talk to other cat people.
Wow, is that going to be avoided by me?
I mean, so they were going good until that one. But, I mean, they're creating like a true crime little empire.
They're huge.
Huge. It's insane. Absolutely insane. So, Billie Eilish has taken to Instagram to reveal that she has Tourette syndrome. She's opening up about it because somebody wound up posting a bunch of videos of her tics, and she felt like, okay, well, I guess I have to address it now. So she shared that her tics are only physical and not super noticeable to others if you're not really paying attention. And she tweeted, or I'm sorry, she posted, I've never mentioned my Tourette's on the internet because nobody thinks I'm dead ass. What is that? Like, she's not serious. like serious about something?
Serious. Okay. Yeah, I mean, again, look to me for any slang.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. She then wrote, as well as the fact that I've just never wanted people to think of Tourette's every time they think of me. So she's just letting people know, this is it, this is what it is. But then, in true Billie Eilish form, she wrote, you know, the videos were pretty low-key funny. Which I kind of love about her, that she wasn't mad or upset or hurt. She could be.
That's refreshing.
But she's, yeah, letting people know, listen, they're pretty funny, but here's why.
We love the Billie Eilish over here.
Yeah, we really do.
I was really bummed to miss that interview, but I listened to it, and she was so funny.
So funny.
She did say, I'll kill you, Jensen.
Yeah,
that
she
happened
did.
In that
she wanted
interview.
To murder me.
Yeah.
So I did love that.
Understandable.
And she also said, I don't know if this was off air or on, but she said, what the F kind of a name is Bean?
So yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah.
That was great. We bonded early.
Yeah, right?
She did remind you you're a grown adult who selected the name to use on the radio.
Yeah.
Yes. I've never felt more schooled by a teenager.
That was really fun.
I mean, she's not wrong.
She is not wrong. You guys. So if you missed this earlier, I want to let you know, because a lot of people are going to want this. Just 14 months after his death, Playboy icon. I'm going to get some sleep tonight, you guys. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Playboy icon Hugh Hefner is putting some stuff up for auction. Well, not him, but people are putting it up for him. It's a public auction on November 30th and December 1st.
Describe stuff.
Here's some of the stuff.
I don't mind.
Complete set of bound Playboy editions. That's estimated to draw up to $40,000.
So that's everyone that's ever been put out?
Yeah. Iconic smoking jackets. About $5,000 each. A pair of his silk pajamas. No.
No, indeed.
$2,000. And then this one, I just think this is a cool thing to have. It's a 1946 coin-operated Wurlitzer jukebox that he programmed with 24 original 78 RPM albums by artists like Artie Shaw, Johnny Mercer, Lena Horne. So music that he loved in this jukebox.
Well, they never made any good music after the 78 format.
I've said it for years. That should go for about $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine that you bid on those PJs?
No. I can't imagine.
Who is that person?
That's a terrible person.
Right?
No.
Yeah. It's, by the way, not... I don't know. I don't know if I want to open this up. But I don't think that the Playboy empire is something we're going to look back on with very fond memories. Everything's sort of turning into a certain way. And I don't mean to bring up that Bill Cosby and Hugh Hefner were super close. Right. And that a lot of these stories had to do at the mansion. Yeah. I mean, I think long term...
You don't think it's going to be a good brag to say that I
no.
have Hugh Hefner's PJs?
PJs? No, no. It's having the engine of the Titanic, in my opinion.
But I still think it was a groundbreaking thing.
Of course. By the way, Hugh Hefner had some amazing things with literature and women and equal rights, civil rights. There were some things. He's a very complicated man in that way. But listen, the Playboy stuff's not my favorite.
But now's the time to sell this stuff while there are still people old enough and alive enough to fondly reminisce about Playboy.
Yes, I agree with you. Because it's going to get more tainted. Yes, now is the time to sell it.
Oh, I think it's already tainted.
Are we still talking about the jammies?
I believe so.
Just disgusting, you guys. Just disgusting. Also disgusting, Pauly D has a ton of money, apparently, because he co-designed a custom pendant. Took him 3 months to create. It's modeled after an illustration of his own face, complete with his hair blown out, diamond earrings, and aviator sunglasses. The 36-carat pendant hangs on a 48-carat tricolor Cuban link chain covered in rose, yellow, and white diamonds. And then he thought, well, that's not enough. What if I want a bracelet that matches? So he had that made.
Mm-hmm.
Grand total for Pauly D's new bling?
Mm-hmm.
$500,000.
Go away.
$500,000, you guys.
That's insane.
To wear a pendant of yourself.
I hope someone steals it.
Wow.
I literally hope someone runs up, rips it off his chest or neck or whatever it is, and then sells it, and they pawn it and burn it down. And
the
then they
pawn store, or what are we burning?
No, taking the gold and all the diamonds, burning it down.
Okay.
I want them to take that, and then I want them to send it to space.
Okay.
And then I want it to eventually come back down to Earth.
Uh-huh. And hit him and kill him.
Hit him in the head and knock him out.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he's gone forever.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds viable.
Yeah.
Honestly, complicated. I wish you well with it.
Thank you.
So we went from him making a necklace to him being dead on the ground.
He didn't say kill him. He just wanted to knock him out.
Oh, I said kill him. My bad.
Yeah.
So just knock him out.
Tons of blood, though.
Yeah. I mean, you want there to be a scare. Like, it's possible he'll die, but he actually pulls through.
Yeah, I want the family to be nervous. I want the whole thing.
Okay. This took a real turn.
People to send prayers and thoughts.
Sure did.
Real turn right there. Some birthdays for you. Anna Faris, Don Cheadle, Chadwick Boseman, Howie Mandel, and the greatest sportscaster of all time. Mr. Vin Scully.
You know, Bumgarner tells a story which, in a sense, reminds you of what it takes to be a big league ball player. It's 2 years ago in spring training, and he and his wife were roping cattle, which is what they do. One pitch, sinker low, ball two and one. And they were startled by a large snake.
Oh, a snake.
And Madison thought it was a rattlesnake, so he grabbed an axe. And he hacked the snake to pieces.
Oh, good. Wow.
But there's something more to the story.
I'm watching the game. Come on.
Wait, what's more to the story?
There's more to that story. You don't have
I'm looking at the clock. Do I have time to
go? Yes.
2-1 pitch. Low, ball three and one. When his wife, Allie, and an expert field dresser examined what was left of the snake, she found two baby jackrabbits inside pieces of the snake and extracted them.
Whoa!
3-1 pitch determined way inside ball four.
So
and
much darker.
She extracted them a short while later.
Okay.
The Bumgarners noticed that one of the rabbits had moved slightly. It was alive.
Oh, come on!
Back to their apartment. For the next few days, they kept it warm, bottle nursed it.
I can't get out of this without finding out how it is, right?
The rabbit was alive inside the rattlesnake that he had chopped up.
Keep going.
You guys.
Keep going.
Finish.
And the rabbit soon was healthy enough that they released it into the wild. And Madison said, just think about how tough that rabbit was.
There you go. That's a beautiful way to end the program today.
That
Thank
was written
you,
by
Ben.
M. Night Shyamalan, or whatever his name is.
Shyamalan.
The SoCal Helpful Hunted tomorrow morning. Bill Burr, a brand new internet roundup, and tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.